720 WGN here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, live on Michigan Avenue. The streets are not quite filled with people yet as people kind of relax into what is kind of a brisk fall style, but still very kind of summer-centric day. It's going to be a beautiful day out there. We are going to talk about it, as well as checking in as our thoughts and prayers go out to all those dealing with Hurricane Irma. We're going to have break-ins from, it sounds like it's going to be some kind of a crime. We're going to have check-ins from, I think, ABC giving us an update on the weather as friends and family and fellow Americans down there in the Miami area, Key West, are dealing with the storm. It looks as though it's kind of taken a little bit of a left-hand, kind of a westerly turn, so hopefully the damage might not be as bad for the larger population centers. We've got a big show on, sitting in for Dean Richards today until 1 p.m. Dean is north of the border. I'm sure he's not evacuated for the hurricane. He's there for one of the top film festivals in the world, in studio with us, and we're going to get to him in just a minute, as well as is Blake Stubbs, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. So to keep with the theme, Dean is one of our nation's leading entertainment reporters, certainly one of our beloved Hall of Famers, Walk of Famers here for WGN. So we're going to talk a little bit about movies. We're going to talk about some of the movies that are out now, some of the ones everybody is talking about. Tom Hush, The Quiet Storm, is in the booth. He is also a movie buff as well. So we'll talk about some that are in the theater, some that are coming soon. And then, because this is a very special sports day, this is the day of ultimate optimism. Of course, that could be extended to next week if the Bears win, but at this point the mighty Chicago Bears are undefeated as the NFL season starts out. And so from a movie perspective, you know, oftentimes sports memories and kind of just that whole sports state of mind can be transferred into some of our favorite movies. So we will be talking about our favorite football movies. You can suggest yours too, 312-981-7200. You can text them in, you can call in, you can give them to Tom, you can talk with us and Blake as well. Or your favorite sports movies, if you've got some, let's say, you know, because there are a lot of sports going on right now. We do have, you know, getting into the playoffs for NASCAR. We've got the Cubs in their kind of playoff stretch run, hoping that they can hold off the upstart Milwaukee Brewers and stop them from all of their nefarious ideas. That was a terrible game. Blake, did you get a chance? I don't know if you're a Cubs fan. Are you?
I'm a Cubs fan, yes. I did not get to watch the game yesterday.
Good for you, because it was not good. So we're going to do a little bit of that. We're going to talk some movies. We're going to talk some sports. If you want to get out and go to sports, you can do that. Dino Tiberi, our good friend, the physical embodiment, as he channels Harry Caray on a regular basis, is going to stop in with us on his way to the Bears opener. We're going to talk a little bit about the Cubs stretch run and then preview this year's Bears season and specifically this game. Then, on the food side, Dean often talks food with Food Time, and of course, I do a lot of the food stuff here at WGN. We're going to get into the food of sports, tailgating. We're going to talk a little bit about tailgating happened down there at Soldier Field, some of the best things that you can do. Beth Peterson is going to be in studio talking tailgating. Famous Dave Anderson are, now, I don't know if people know this. I talked with Tom before the show, and he was surprised that there was a real, actual Famous Dave, but there is. Otherwise, you know, it would, I don't know. Were you aware of that, Blake?
I remember hearing that there was a Famous Dave, but I mean,
you thought it'd be like a,
not like a,
like
he's
a mythical
guy.
Creature.
Yeah. Well, because as far as like most
hieroglyphics
places,
in a cave. Kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah. Well, the one Famous Dave I grew up knowing was Dave from Wendy's, you know, like that's, he was part of the marketing. He was part of the whole thing, but like Famous Dave is just famous and his food's famous, but I wouldn't have known him from Adam.
He's,
you know?
Well, he's famous for great barbecue. Those places are all around the country. And as a competition barbecue person, hundreds of awards going out to Famous Dave's and his barbecue. And this last week, he was inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame, the real live person, Famous Dave Anderson. So he'll be joining us too. He grew up around Logan Square, and so he's excited to talk a little kickoff for Bears football, a little tailgate tips, and of course we'll reminisce about his great career as well. And then Dave Hammond, he is the drinking and dining editor for New City Magazine. He will be in studio as we're going to get him to talk a little tailgating and maybe some, I think he's dry aging some steaks right now. Not a huge sports fan, but he is a food fan, and we'll be talking Chicago Gourmet, which is for foodies, that is a huge spectator sport coming up at the end of the month, Chicago Gourmet in Millennium Park. So we'll talk with him about that. I'll be one of the MCs for it, for some of the different chefs and competitions. So stay tuned for that. When we come back, we're going to talk movies again. You can add yours if you want, Blake and I, to talk about them. Your favorite football movie, or maybe your thoughts on some of the movies that are out in the theaters now. We're going to talk about them as soon as we come back. 312-981-7200. It is Dane in for Dean here on 720 WGN. It is Dean Richards Sunday morning. Dane Neal here with you until 1 p.m. today, talking things that Dean would talk about and also a little bit of the stuff that Chicago is talking about as we get into the Bears season starting out. It is that the first weekend of optimistic potential for these mighty Bears. And in studio with us to talk a little movies about either football or sports, Blake Stubbs. We're going to cover, you know, the movies in the theaters now as well, but we thought we'd start off with a little bit of the favorite sports movies of all time. And again, you can add your own, you can text in, or you can call and talk to Tom or us, 312-981-7200. So Blake, this is kind of a film genre. I don't know if it falls into the category of, like, you know, romantic comedy or thriller or horror or action or anything like that. But sports movies, there's a lot of them.
There really are. And the big thing about them is that they're incredibly motivational films in some way. You know,
that is correct. You know, when I got a chance to see, I don't know if it was like Rocky 3 or 4 or right. something. Yeah. I wanted to go ahead and drink the raw eggs and run around the block.
Right. I mean, if you can keep the eggs down, you might make it around the block a few times and then you might get sick again. Right, but exactly. It's one of those things where they're very inspiring, they're motivating, they're the type of films that, you know, deep down, everybody wants to achieve greatness at something, and for a lot of people, especially in America throughout, you know, the 20th century when a lot of these movies were being made, and even so in the early 21st century here, they've been the type of films that make you want to then go repeat and do and try to strive for greatness in some way. Now maybe it's not playing football or hockey or baseball or basketball, but they do. They tap into that element of being a human where you want to succeed and root for and cheer and go from there.
Okay, so some of our best things about what makes us can sometimes be told those stories, right?
Yes.
That backdrop can be sports. You know,
absolutely.
It's the kind of thing that we're using. And it may not be as much about the sports as maybe just the, you know, the score on the scoreboard or the
right.
statistics or things like that. So let's talk about it, because you think back at some of these movies, and some of them have actually, off the air we were talking, or actually when we just got back, we were talking a little bit about the Rocky movies, kind of sports,
yeah.
kind of loosely based on sports as far as
right.
like kind of just the real idea of sports. But you have some where you've got, whether it's Olympic stories, you
right.
know, whether it's the 1980 hockey team stories, whether mm-hmm. Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire is a big one, a huge one.
And,
yes.
and Chariots of Fire actually was able to be kind of that movie with the sports backdrop that actually got a lot of critical acclaim.
Critical acclaim, absolutely. And the other thing is, too, is it's something that typically, if you can put, you know, the spectacle on screen. That's the other thing about sports, is the gigantic spectacle of it, the whole like spectator element, but you know, you feel like you're part of the action at the yeah. same time, and it's easy to then go immediately into a theater, buy a ticket, get some popcorn, get a soda, and know that like you're hoping to get a good story, but as long as the spectacle and the character driven, you know, story is there, you're gonna have a good time. And a lot of the films that, you know, always end up on the best of lists, that's what they're comprised of, are the films that people have always responded to, they want to talk about, they saw it when they were with their kid, and you know, their kid felt inspired after and wanted to, you know, sign up and play baseball or sign up and play football. And it's one of those things where there's all these elements about it that can make someone feel proud for various different reasons. And that's, sport films just bring people together in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, just like the movie Halloween does not necessarily or usually inspire people to become serial killers. So
sports movies
can have kind of positive effects. When it comes to football movies, there are some that are there any really, really good ones? You know, we have an affinity for Brian Song here. Because,
Brian Song's a yes.
Because of
absolutely.
Because of the emotional, everybody cries.
Yep.
And of course, it's the Bears. And mm-hmm. and then, but some of them, have there been really good? Because you think of North Dallas 40. We had someone from the 224 just text yep. in. with the Water Boy. Again, loosely.
Water Boy. Yeah, yeah.
It's a movie about hydration.
Movie. Yeah, a hot, fun movie about hydration, story. Making sure you take good care of yourself.
Coming
and,
of age.
And your teammates. It's a coming of age story. It's learning how to stand on your own 2 feet. All of those things. I remember seeing The Waterboy with my dad in the theater when it first came out, and I believe that was in the late 90s. I want to say late 90s.
Were you inspired, Blake, to go out there and get a 12-pack of Glacier Stream ice? And
No, I was definitely inspired, though, to talk like this because that's how The Waterboy talked. You know, like, that was one of those, like, Adam Sandler was at the height of his popularity, you know, when that movie came out. And so there was a great amount of, you know, for young people like myself at the time, that connected with us. As far as the football side of it goes, my dad, I remember he had a great time, you know, watching it, laughing with me. Henry Winkler was he was a crack up in that movie. I have to say the movie itself is like, has it aged well? Not so much, but there were certain scenes and quotable lines and things. And in the end, a movie like that, that's what you want to get out of it.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah, Kathy Bates right there.
And Kathy
one of
Bates.
Great actress, showing her range, right?
Yeah. And she can do comedy, and she can do it quite well.
Yeah, the love story of Vicki Vallencourt was involved in that. And then you had a movie that was much more serious, and I think it kind of ties into the elements that you talked about in the beginning, the kind of movie that inspires you. And this one was great, and we had the 708, Rudy, right?
Rudy. Well, Rudy, I think, is probably on a lot of people's best sports film of all time. It's inarguable. And it's because it covers that whole thing about having heart, never quitting, playing your hardest. It was the score. The Jerry Goldsmith score is one of the things for me. Like, I listen to the Tryout song all the time. It's just one of those beautiful pieces of music that complements, you know, cinema very well. And at the same time, you know, Sean Astin, man, the guy can carry a movie, and he hasn't really carried a film since then. It's like, it was a star-making role. He did very well with it, and it has a lot of a young Vince Vaughn is in the film.
Yeah,
know, it's
yeah.
a great cast. It captures the period at Notre Dame, what it was like to try to make the team. And as far as football movies go, it's a really solid movie with a great, you know, message. You know, that whole don't quit, keep at it, you know, find a way to make yourself happy rather than just make it about winning the game.
And a lot of the football traditions in Notre Dame, not too far from here, kind of built into that as well, which I think added to the popularity of the mystique of it,
yes.
Right? And wow, what a great movie. I think that one still holds up today. On the line with us now, talking a little bit of sports. We want to get his favorite football movie of all time, Andy Mazur. Andy, welcome to your show.
Hey, Dean, how you doing?
I am Dane playing Dean, so if you check your playbill.
I'm just so used to it. Sorry about that.
Come on. If that's the worst that I get, that's great. So think about this, and I know that you are obviously a sports expert and a sports contributor and correspondent and reporter, but also a huge, huge, huge fan. Do you get into sports movies and specifically, you know, football movies?
Yeah, you know, I kind of watch it with a more critical eye, just to say, like, no way, that doesn't happen, because I've been in locker rooms before, I've covered things of that nature, but, you know, movies, obviously, you're supposed to suspend your disbelief, and I think I can't believe you guys have missed the greatest football movie of all time, The Replacements.
Oh, that was on my list. Absolutely on my list. All-star cast, it's hilarious, it's a total crack-up. I mean, look, being on a sports team, you know, growing up as a kid, I remember, you know, some of the funniest things, you know, of my life have ever happened being on a sports team. That movie, I think, captured at least the comedy amongst a brotherhood of guys, you know, for a lot of great reasons.
The characters, I mean, just the way that everybody kind of interacted, and I really think that Gene Hackman was going for a little Mike Ditka in the with the hat and the mustache, those kind of things. So it did resonate with me.
Well, you look at the humor side of it, and we kind of talked as we were getting into this that, yes, sports may be the backdrop, but there could be other things, whether it's, you know, motivational or inspirational, or whether it is humor, right? That even though sports is the backdrop, you've got other themes that are really making it more enjoyable.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, you guys are mentioning Rudy. I mean, that's just, you know, that story of perseverance. You talk about, you know, Field of Dreams. You talk about father and son relationships and how baseball kind of brings that all together. So, yeah, it's I mean, sports movies to me, I just enjoy the backdrop of the sports, as you mentioned. But yeah, there are other messages that are not hidden, but certainly there.
Well, okay, so let's talk about today. This is one of those that we've mentioned, it kind of the moments of optimum, you know, as far as optimism when it comes to the Bears. We may be writing the first chapter in that story of the Bears Super Bowl season. Is that possible, Andy?
I wouldn't go that far. I would say that it'd be interesting to see exactly what happens here today. And there's a lot of intriguing storylines to me. And obviously, one of them is the quarterbacking situation and how Mike Glennon will actually hold up under center. And will he be able to, you know, be protected? Will he be able to be productive today? And that's one thing. I mean, the other thing, of course, if he's not, how soon do we see Mitchell Trubisky? I mean, that's the other question. I think that that people are wanting to see and find out. So that's the other question that I have for what. Hang on one second, guys.
You can't use that through here. You got to come in through
okay.
the wall. Turn around and stop.
I'm good. All right. I got my first lesson in parking at Soldier Field today.
And he's being arrested right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm being arrested. Yeah. No big deal.
It's okay. Just.
Like I was saying, I mean, I think that that's part of the intrigue of this game today. And also, I mean, as far as the Falcons are concerned, this is a team that was right there on the cusp of the Super Bowl and basically blew a huge lead and blew their opportunity to win a Super Bowl game. So you wonder how they're going to come into this game as well. I just don't think the ingredients kind of add up for a Bears win here today.
You know what? I've got this crazy feeling, and we'll get with Sam on this as well, but and I don't know if you're just kind of caught up in the moment of the fact that they haven't lost yet or any of those things, but you look at, you said the cusp of the Super Bowl, but they were right in the middle, the eye of a complete and legendary collapse, and they've got that hangover situation. I just got a good feeling. For some reason, you know, as good as teams are, unless you're the 72 Dolphins, you're going to lose a game here and there. I just think the Bears have it. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense on paper. I think they have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and we can borrow the title from another great sports movie, Any Given Sunday. But you know, I just don't see it. I just don't see it playing out. I'd like to see what the Bears' game plan is today. I certainly hope it's going to feature a whole lot of Jordan Howard at running back and a lot of run plays. They kind of promised us this over the last couple of seasons, and we really haven't seen the results of that. We've seen a team that's you know, basically trying to pass first. And then and run later, and kind of abandoning the run at times. So I'd love to see how this game plan is gonna work out here today, and hopefully it's gonna feature a lot of runs.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to check in with us a little bit later, and we'll get in with Sam as well. We've got to take a quick break, stay on time for news because we got hurricane updates. So Andy, thanks for checking in, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. It's Dane in for Dean here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the line with us now. We have ABC News' Alex Stone giving us an update on Hurricane Irma. Alex, welcome to the show.
Dane, good to be here. Hey, Dane, good to be here. And South Florida is getting battered right now. We just got an update here in the Tampa area where I am, and they're saying that in the next hour, hour and a half or so, that the tropical storm force winds will begin. And then tonight at around 7 o'clock is when the hurricane force winds are expected. And then overnight tonight, about 2-3 o'clock in the morning is when the worst of it is going to hit. But South Florida getting it right now. The Keys already got it. We're starting to get some reports of damage and storm surge in that area. Up the coast here in Florida, the worry is about storm surge and the impact it's going to have.
So much was made about the preparation for the Keys. Obviously, they're dealing with it right now, but also Miami. And you look at those models, whether it was a European model or whether it was the United States model, it was more of a kind of to the right or straight up the middle. Do you feel like the people in Tampa where you are in St. Petersburg, or did they, I don't want to say take it seriously because everybody did, but did they prepare as much as they should?
Well, they're taking it seriously now, but it was kind of a last-minute rush to get people out because, yeah, they thought we actually landed in Tampa on Wednesday and then went to the east coast of Florida because that was the area that was likely going to get hit. The people here in Tampa thought, nah, it's going to be fine. It'll just be a little rainy, a little windy. They'll get the outer edges of Irma. And then all of a sudden, it tracked to the west. And there is a chance tonight. The models have the eye going right over downtown Tampa as potentially a Category 3 storm. So that's a powerful storm to go from nothing to something. They got out very quickly. Traffic yesterday was horrendous on I-4 and I-75 trying to get out of here and get out of Naples as people went wherever they could go. If they found a hotel inland, many going to Georgia and Alabama. Others have filled up shelters. Some of the shelters are now full here in Tampa. They say they're looking for more, trying to open more before the storm gets here. But they're also saying if you're not in shelter of some kind in the next hour, hour and a half, you got to get in because it's not going to be safe. There aren't a lot of people on the streets. Everything is shut down. gas stations, grocery stores, nothing is open at this point.
Letting the listeners know, we're talking with ABC News' Alex Stone filling us in on the update with Hurricane Irma. And this is one of those rare things. You mentioned get away from the coast, but this is the kind of thing, when they looked at the size of the storm, initially they had said the entire state of Florida could be completely covered. We've got relatives in, I think, the Orlando area, a little bit north of that, and they had basically, it looked like with one of the tracks, they were going to get maybe a Category 2 storm. So how does that look as far as the people kind of inland now? Because when you talk about evacuating, people had to, and you mentioned it, get completely out of the state.
Yeah, well, they're definitely going to feel it in Orlando and in that area. The entire state is feeling this. This is a massive storm coming up over, completely covering Florida, even though it has gone a little bit off to the west. The biggest concerns are the coastal areas because of that storm surge, which comes in so quickly after the eye passes over and goes out very quickly, but does incredible amounts of damage in the meantime. Looking at in the south, in Naples, potentially 15-foot storm surge. That can wipe out homes. Think how high 15 feet is. If you got a one-story home that might be in the, you know, the roof, ceiling in your room, maybe 10 feet high, you have a 15-foot storm surge come in and people are trying to shelter in those buildings. Here in the Tampa area, anywhere from 5 to 8 feet could do a whole lot of damage. This is a flood-prone area. So they've got the city cut up into sections, into zones, and they've got certain zones that are evacuated now, the ones right along the water. They're hoping that storm surge isn't as bad as has been predicted, but there is a fear that storm surge is going to be a major issue here.
Well, thoughts and prayers from Chicago out to everyone in Florida, and of course yourself, for the great work that you're doing. We'll let you get up to updating other stations around the country. We'll check back in with you a little bit later. Thanks, Alex.
You got it. Have a great Sunday.
You bet. All right, wow. So it's the kind of thing that is going on. I think if you had to look at it as far as, you know, potential positives or a silver lining in there, is that I don't think as many people are going to be affected as they initially had thought, because initially it was going to hit Miami head on, then head straight up, you know, with a 2 and 3 category storm all the way up to basically the top of Florida and into Georgia. So we are talking on a lighter note. You know, we've got some things to be, you know, excited about here on the football side. Andy Mazur had talked about some of the movies that he likes, as he was reprimanded and scolded because there's parking rules and regulations at Soldier Field. Blake Stubbs is in with us. Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. We're talking movies. And over the time, people have checked in 312-981-7200 with some of their favorites. Movies like Breaking Away. That's not a football movie, but it is a great sports movie. Hoosiers. A lot of them.
A lot. I was going to say, you know, when you get into the sports movie pantheon, it's a pretty extensive list, and football films especially, they know that filmmakers know that people love American football. It's just a great way to build. If you want to make a movie about a team, if you want to make a movie about an individual player who needs to, you know, figure out that there are better ways to win games than just thinking it's all about your skill and your ego, if you want to have a great coach-based movie, There's whole movies based around just coaches. I mean, Any Given Sunday is an ensemble film. It's a big Oliver Stone football film. But Al Pacino's performance in particular, and I hope the Bears are watching his locker room speech a few times today to get hype for the game. But those types of things, like, there's different angles you can attack, you know, this stuff from and have it be your backdrop. And it just connects with audiences on many levels.
We have talked, you know, over the years about kind of the dynamics of movies, movie stars and things like that. Al Pacino was one of those, you know, one of our great American movie stars, Godfather, who could forget some of those, the movies that he's been a part of. But he is, I think, more than just an actor. He is more of a, he's the same guy in every movie, right? Is he the same guy as a football coach as he is to a mafia?
He's about to play Joe Paterno, I believe, for HBO, and the first shot, like production shot, if you want to go out and look for it, it's readily available. They've pretty much found the actor to play Joe Pa. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Pacino is the guy, and I'm kind of eager to see what his interpretation's going to be.
Right.
But unless he's like heavily, you know, made up, there's sort of a, it's that movie star style performance where it's the magnetism, you know, that he draws.
You love Al Pacino, you're gonna love him in this.
Yeah, hooah!
You'll love him as a prospector. You're gonna love him as an astronaut. You'll love him as a mafia kingpin. You'll love him as a football coach. When it comes to sports movies, some that have been, I think, beloved, but also Kevin Costner is a guy that comes to mind. Of course, you know, he's been in a number of different sports movies. Are there some actors, in your opinion, Blake, that just lend themselves more, you know, just like an action, you know,
yeah,
actor? You know, not everybody can be, you know, Vin Diesel.
Right.
Right. So,
well, see, where Al Pacino, you know, for his film work, a lot of people like to say there's a lot of similarities between performances. His stage work is where, you know, he's really diversified his palette. I mean, he's a Shakespearean trained actor. He's got the classical training. But when it comes to people like Kevin Costner, you know, who's been in, you know, Field of Dreams, which is always on someone's, you know, top sports film list, Bull Durham. He's also got Tin Cup. He's got Draft Day, which is a film where he's played sort of every
on his
angle.
Sizzle reel. It's going to be a lot of sports movies.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I think you know, he's got that likability factor, that look, that style, that he can just sort of, in a way, it's a chameleon style tactic. He can step right into those spheres and operate and make audiences just connect with it. And he can carry a movie pretty well. I mean, I would say, you know, personally, he's not one of my favorite actors, but when he gives a great performance, he gives a great performance. And I think in his sports film, you know, like group of films that he's been in, he's always done a great job, or at least had fun on screen,
yeah,
and it translates to the audiences.
We've got some, one for the 847, We Are Marshall. We've got
yes,
the 218, Miracle, and then from the 815, Rudy from Sherry in Joliet. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about some of those other movies, sports movies, football movies. We're going to just kind of visit that genre and talk about some of our favorite ones. And maybe the Bears and certainly the Cubs wrote a great script for a future movie last year. Maybe the Bears are doing that this year, starting today at Soldier Field. So 312-981-7200 to add yours. But flowers, and Blake, I know that you love flowers.
Absolutely.
Are there any great floral movies? Movies about flowers?
Great floral movies.
Well, give it some thought. Flowers are beautiful things. They're for anniversaries, proms, saying I love you. But flowers become even more beautiful when they're carried by people who are committed to ending Alzheimer's, a disease that currently cannot be prevented, cured, or even slowed. This September 24th at the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's, hundreds of thousands of people across the country will walk carrying blue, yellow, orange, and purple flowers, signifying their connections to the disease, and they will all walk so that one day there will be a white flower for Alzheimer's first survivor, which will be the most beautiful day of all. So join the Walk to End Alzheimer's, the world's largest fundraiser to fight the disease, on Sunday, September 24th. The money you raise provides care and support for all those affected and advances research toward an eventual cure. Together, we can end Alzheimer's. Register today at alz.org/walk. Quick break. We'll come back with more. It's Dane in for Dean here on 720 WGN. Got a little Ted Nugent. 720 WGN. Dane Neal in for Dean until 1 p.m. today. We are talking things that Dean would probably talk about. Going to talk some movies. We're going to talk a little bit of travel, certainly some food. And one of the favorite things for Dean's show is Dave Schwann, our astute newsman, with his forecast, his far-flung forecast. Dave, are you there?
I'm here. I want to thank you, by the way, for your music bumps. They're really good. ZZ Top just took me right back. Thank you. At the open of the show, and now Ted Nugent. Nice work.
That's all Tom Hush. So a big round of classic rock applause for Tom Hush. Well, you can listen to great music anywhere when you're in the car and you're driving somewhere, and some of your forecasts are all across the globe, but this is one that you've got that you could actually probably drive to.
Yeah, you could. As a matter of fact, it's not terribly far, relatively speaking, considering we've gone all over the country and indeed around the world. Headed south now to southern Illinois, to Chester, Illinois today. Chester, Illinois was started in 1829. One of the first residents was a gentleman by the name of Samuel Smith, who established a ferry system to ferry people across the Mississippi River. His wife, Jane, was a native of Chester, England, and that's how the name came about. Apparently, she designated the area Chester, Illinois. We mention Chester today, though, because it is the home of a gentleman by the name of Elsie Seeger. You know who Elsie Seeger is?
Bob Seger's on the classic
no,
rock theme?
Doesn't have anything to do with Bob Seeger, although that would be nice to follow your classic rock stuff. No, Elsie Seeger, it's S-E-G-A-R. Bob Seeger is S-E-G-E-R. Elsie Seeger was the creator of Popeye, the cartoon, Popeye.
Oh.
And to honor Mr. Seeger and Popeye, Every weekend after Labor Day, they have a Popeye picnic in Chester. It's going on today.
And what happens at the Popeye picnic? Is it all spinach or is it Cajun?
There's a spinach
chicken.
There's in the Popeye Museum, apparently. I'm looking at their website now. Spinach nice. Can collectibles are on display at the Popeye Museum. There's an RC model plane show. Also, later today, the Wimpy's Wiener Dog Race.
That's right.
Now, it's interesting that Wimpy always ate hamburgers. You know, he would say, I would gladly pay you Tuesday
for a hamburger.
Hamburger today.
That's right, right.
But the race, though, is the Wimpy's Wiener Dog Race. That's this afternoon. And, of course, how American can you get? The Chester Municipal Band later on this evening. So they've got a great weekend for it, too. It's sunny and 62 in Chester right now.
Wow, got to get down there. All right. So
Chester, Illinois.
As soon as the show. Thanks, Dave. Thanks
you
for
bet.
Sharing Chester and
yes,
everything.
Yes, sir.
You bet. Wow. Okay. So you ever been to Chester? You've been downstate a lot. Of course, from Peoria. You live
I've
in
driven
Champaign.
Through. Yeah.
You've been to Chester, have
it's,
you?
It's one of those things where I've driven kind of all over the state by this point in my life, and I know that I've driven through Chester at least two or three. It's a lovely town. And we've been doing a lot of broadcast. During my day job, I do a lot of stuff in the local communities down in the Central Illinois region, plus Southern Illinois, and those are delightful communities.
It's
down
really
there.
Different down there, isn't it?
When it
you
is.
Get down to Southern Illinois, you're obviously still in the Midwest, a lot of open
yes.
country, but it just has a different look and feel to it.
And it's a lot quieter. I mean,
yes.
it's just, if you're used to the city, life, it is. It's a lot quieter, yeah. and sometimes it can cause you to go a little stir crazy if you like that hustle and bustle. But it's definitely more relaxed and
not quiet today though, guys, because today there is the Popeye picnic in
Absolutely.
Chester. This is going to be mayhem.
That's an annual event that has gone on for many years down there. Matter of fact, we always bring it up this time of year because of that event.
All right, well, we'll get down there and see it. And what, Dave, before we go, look, what is your favorite character in Popeye? You made mention of Wimpy. Of course, he was always hungry and always needy.
Right,
but
right.
there were quite a few characters.
There was
in there.
Well, there was Olive Oil, and there was Sweet Pea, the little baby. Brutus was the villain that Popeye was always trying to overcome, and as soon as he would eat his can of spinach and they'd play the music, why, he would do it. I guess I like Popeye overall. I thought the movie with Robin Williams was fun.
Did it inspire you to incorporate more spinach in your diet?
Actually, what's incorporated me to incorporate more spinach is just the word that's all around the place these days that spinach is healthy for you. And I like it. I think it's great on sandwiches, and I like to cook with it. So
nice.
I don't have a problem eating spinach.
Look at that. We got movies, we got food, we got entertainment, we've got Far Flung, we've got spinach. We've got it all. Thanks, Dave.
You don't have to go anywhere else but 720 WGN. You know that.
Thank you, Dave. So your thoughts on, now that we've got that, the Popeye movie, Robin Williams was one of our most versatile actors. Was he in a sports movie? Popeye was in the sports, the sport of beating up. Was it Brutus or was it Bluto?
There's I believe, a football scene in the Popeye film, believe it or not. And it's a musical. The film's a musical. It's directed by Robert Altman. Robin Williams, it was his vehicle.
Right.
I mean, it was his realm to, turn this character into a live-action sort of embodiment that I think the public, loved Popeye as a cartoon character, and he'd been around for a long time. The film, as a commercial entity, didn't do as well as one would have hoped. But I think it's got an audience. I mean, it's got a cult following. It's fun. It is a fun film.
Right.
It's definitely a fun film. It's one of those things that's looked at as one of Altman's lesser
yeah.
films, but it definitely it was ambitious, and I think that for its time,
Look
it wasn't
you.
Appreciated. At
Look
all.
At you, right? You're giving it all the kudos.
I'm
that
trying
you can.
To give it enough respect to know that, if you watch it now as opposed to when it came out, I think there's more to appreciate, and Robin Williams definitely gave it his all, and he did that with every performance. So,
oh, good to know. We're going to be talking about more performances, your favorite sports movies, 312-981-7200. And coming up after the break, after the news, we're going to have Dino Tiberi in studio talking a little sports, a little movies, a little Bears, and a little Cubs. So stay tuned for that. Dane here for Dean on 720 WGN. Love it. 720 WGN. It is Dane in for Dean until 1 p.m. today. You've got a little bit of rush there as we take a journey through time for classic rock hits brought to you by Tom Hush. Great job. In studio with us, we've got Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. We've been talking movies as we regularly do, but sports movies and how they can be kind of a backdrop for life, you know, romance, love stories, inspiration, and hopefully the Bears are about to start writing that first chapter in the script of a Super Bowl success. And in studio is the one and only our good friend and a longtime compatriot, Dino Tiberi. Dino, welcome to WGN.
Good morning, boys.
So you're buying into it. I didn't see you with the Kool-Aid. You probably finished it before you walked in the studio, but you're drinking some Bears Kool-Aid because not only do you have that optimistic kind of glow about you, but also you're attending the games. You're buying into the possibility of a Bears victory.
Well, you know what? It's opening day. I haven't been to an opening day in a few years, so thought it was time. Beautiful day.
Undefeated.
Yeah, you know, you can't win them all until you win the first one. So, you know, I got to get out there and have some fun. So it'll be fun by the lake today. Just we'll see. It should be an interesting season. I don't, you know, expect great things from the team, but
I was mentioning with Andy Mazur and a little bit with Sam Panayotovich is that I, for whatever reason, and maybe you're just kind of caught up in the moment, but I have a good feeling. I feel like that the, and we've seen it, you know, on Super Bowl Sunday, is that the Falcons have the ability to lose. They have the ability to play poorly. They have the ability to blow leads. Granted, you know, Tom Brady's a contributing factor. Plus, they've got that whole kind of hang. They may take the Bears lightly.
Well, it might be a little bit of a hangover as well from the game last year. This is probably a good time to catch Atlanta. First game of the season, the Bears a little banged up, but, you know, Mike Glennon had started improving a little bit towards the end of the preseason, but, you know, it's only a matter of time before I think Mitch Trubisky gets makes his debut as a Bear quarterback. My prediction probably within the first six games.
Well, as long as Hamp and OB aren't completely upset and, you know, they sound like they're about to, like, blow their heads off and all of their veins out, after the game, then you know that maybe things didn't go as bad as they could. So on the upside, movies, you know, there can always be a happy ending in movies of some kind. And when it comes to sports movies, we've had the listeners have shared a ton of them. 630, McFarland, USA. We've got Hoosiers. We've got somebody that was actually on the Notre Dame campus while they were filming Rudy.
Of course.
But still says even with all of that, and we know that was a really inspirational movie. They defer to his work as Samwise Ganges in the Lord of the Rings trilogy and nominate him, if you can do it, as a write-in for an Academy Award. So Blake is here. And Dino, do you have any, you know, great sports movies that you know and love?
Well, you mentioned a couple of good ones there. There's some ones that are under the radar for most people. You know, I watched a few recently. Tin Cup was one, a golf movie.
Yeah.
You know, lighthearted kind of stuff.
Was
of course,
it, you know, battling his demons to try to resurrect a golf career.
Sure,
and
in a very Hollywood way. You know, that's the thing. Like, that's where the lightheartedness comes in.
Exactly, and then of course my favorite movie of all time, Caddyshack. You know, that's another golf movie.
Yes,
but
it is. Yeah.
But it's, you know, I just had, you know, I'm trying to think of some other ones.
Happy Gilmore. Is there a serious golf movie?
No, there shouldn't really be. I mean, come on. I mean, there's you want to have comedy and have something lighthearted in that respect. But I'm trying to think of some other ones that I, of course, there was the great Any Given Sunday, which is one of the worst football movies I ever saw. But
I was going to say, it's Oliver Stone's football movie. It's, you know, you're either going to love it or hate it, but there's great performances in it. But like, as far as football movies go, it's not the pinnacle movie you want to throw in on a Sunday, on any given Sunday, and watch, you know, right before a game.
Well, Blake is a cinematic optimist, and he had mentioned, you know, the locker room speech.
That's
was,
the one. Yeah.
Was inspirational as well. We've had a few people call and text in, and we did mention it early on. It was one of the absolute first things we mentioned with Brian Song, which is you've got a sports movie, you've got a bear-related sports movie. This isn't something you see every day. And you've got something that's able to, even to this day, kind of pull at the emotional heartstrings. Do you know your thoughts on a Brian song?
Well, you know, that was one of the first movies that I could actually, I mean, it was so emotional at the end. And you know, the cool part about that was that, you know, they filmed a lot of that right out, you know, with a lot of the current Bears that were playing. I mean, Abe Gibbern was in it. He was a coach, and I think Dick Butkus was in it at some point, you know, and it was, you know, a classic movie, and one that it was emotional for me. I mean, you know, being a Bear fan, of course, but even as a younger guy, when I watched it, you know, I cried at the end of it. I'm not afraid to admit that. That was, you know, one of those movies that just pulls at your, you know, emotions, and that was a great movie as far as I can see. So,
and kind of stood the test of time. People still talk about it, texting in to this day on the line with this. One of the, I don't want to say it's a modern movie. This is still quite a few, but Blake, you're a younger guy, and this is one of the ones that you had brought up, Friday Night Lights. We have Steve online. Steve, welcome to WGN.
Well, welcome. I'm happy to be here.
we're happy to have you. So talk about Friday Night Lights. It kind of, was it about kind of the high school football culture and how big some of those games can be? And, of course, all the relationship hijinks and things that go on?
Yeah, it teaches a lot of different lessons, too. Teamwork, coaching, disappointment, what it takes to get into a college team. I think it's just an excellent movie.
Blake, your thoughts?
I actually agree, and I think that the big – well, because the other thing for me, Friday Night Lights was also a very popular television show that built on all of those lessons over the course of multiple seasons with, you know, great actors playing these parts and that were, you know, sort of just adapted to be a smaller screen, draw the story out, show where these players go beyond high school, show what life was like for them. Because down in that area of Texas, the idea of high school football being the beginning of your quest for greatness.
Yeah.
And at the same time, achieving it while you're there.
And Steve, thanks so much for adding that too. And thanks for calling in. We talked too, is it's one of those movies that turned into a successful TV series. People from the 630 say that it's the best TV series of all time. And so we'll get Mike Hamernick's thoughts on this. Mike, are you there? Is he there? Is he there? He's going to be calling in with a weather report when we do get him as well. So for Dennis Quaid, Everybody's All American. People had, had got that one in there, and this is one of those kind of, right? I thought that was there are so many really good movies, especially football movies, where football is the backdrop. Was that the one where he was the Gray Ghost?
I believe.
Past his prime,
yeah.
Maybe drank a little too much.
He was in another movie, The Express, about another football movie. So, I mean, he's familiar with that. He was also in Any Given Sunday.
It was in Any Given Sunday. Wasn't he also, was it, I always get these two confused. One was For Love of the Game, which I believe was Kevin Costner. And then he was in The Rookie.
The Rookie.
Where he played a former pitcher who had, you know, gone to be a farmer, and he wanted to kind of chase the dream again. It's
right.
Like he still had the gift, you know. And that's also another, again, sports movies being inspiring, motivating.
Yeah, that was a low percentage of, you know, a guy that had stopped pitching years ago and then decided when he was in his mid-30s as a teacher, he finds out he can throw the ball 98 miles an hour.
How did he just find out? No one ever
really the story was he was coaching a team, and then the kids, you know, said, you know, if we win the title, then, you know, you're going to try out. You know, we want you to try out. And he tried out for the Tampa Bay Rays and ended up making it. And it was just the whole story was the trip that he made to get to that point. So,
yeah. Blake, you'll know about this in different movies. Usually they're superhero related, is when something happens that is inexplainable, inexplicable. And you have to kind of add some kind of way to do it, whether it's bit by a radioactive spider,
right.
Whether it's like some kind of a nuclear storm.
There's always a catalyst.
Something.
There's always something.
Right? An amulet of some kind. So, Dino, he just woke up one day and he could just.
I think at some point he was able to pitch, and then the next thing you know, he went on about his career as a teacher and figured out how.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed that movie just because I knew the story going into it, and then to watch it unfold, it was entertaining.
Well, hold tight on that. We have gotten so many great movies. You've got Bang the Drum Slowly from 847. Mm-hmm. What about The Longest Yard?
I mean, Yard, and that's been remade.
Right.
I mean, that was one that, there's two iterations of that, but the Burt Reynolds one, I think, is the one that everybody remembers. That's the one that.
Pride of the Yankees from the 708, 847 with Blindside, Miracle on Ice.
The Natural is another great one.
Yeah,
I haven't heard come up yet. And I want to make a brief correction. Earlier, I said that there was a football scene in Popeye. I was thinking of Robin Williams in football gear. That was from the movie The Best of Times. There's a boxing scene in Popeye. But The Best of Times is with Kurt Russell, who I've talked about on these airwaves, talking about how he's like one of the last standing true great movie star presences you can put on camera.
Yeah, he was a lead role in Miracle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, oh, no. He was the coach.
His Herb Brooks.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and your sizzle reel, right. You're going to have sports movies in there. We mentioned Kevin Costner a number of times, and this movie has been brought up, and we got him on the line sharing it. You can, 2-312-981-7200. Your favorite football movie? Your favorite sports movie? We're talking about it. Frank, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. I've got two of them. Remember the Titans with Denzel Washington?
It's great.
Definitely.
And I think you just mentioned The Blind Side.
Both led by amazing actors in great performances. And in Sandra Bullock's case, an Academy Award-winning performance.
Right, right.
Sports is the backdrop, and sports. And remember, the Titans specifically. Sports has a major part in showing what it was like for these two. The integration period where we were getting people of different cultures to interact with each other, and also led by a black coach who inspired and drove these guys to succeed.
Yeah, Frank, thanks so much for checking in on this. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break here, 312-981-7200, to add your thoughts on your favorite football movie, your favorite sports movie, so many great ones, and we will get to them. We'll get to your calls as well. Quick break. It's Dane in for Dean until 1 here on 720 WGN. It 720 WGN. Dane Neal here in for Dean Richards until 1 p.m. Yeah, makes you want to down the 2-3 raw eggs, get yourself a big dog, and run around the neighborhood in a stained sweatshirt.
That's how I start every day. Every day.
We are talking sports and sports movie. Dean, of course, one of legendary entertainment reporters for our country, and so this is something that Dean would definitely talk about, and we've got this is the day, the weekend of optimism, as the Bears are undefeated, talking about some of our favorite football movies and sports movies from 630. We had Varsity Blues.
So finally, like I was waiting on somebody to bring
pick.
It in.
Dang it.
Yeah, that was it. You know, that was a movie that kind of brought everything together. John Voight is the bad, you know, pile-driving coach that, you know, stops at nothing to win another district title.
Coach Kilmer.
Coach Kilmer, and the thing about Varsity Blues is that while Friday Night Lights tries to show you the ins and outs, the drama, the humor, the relationships, everything about, you know, Texas high school football, Varsity Blues is trying to skewer it and show that, like, kids were getting pushed beyond their means, you know, their limits, and how that can be a bit too much.
For the good of the game.
Yeah, for the good of the game, for the good of the town. You know, you're doing this for the town. You're doing this for your parents. But, you know, I don't want your life. Like, that was the line of the movie.
Man, it's one of those things where you get into it, and we talked about it. Hey, it's not, you know, romantic comedy or action or thriller or horror or whatever, but sports movies as their own genre. So many coming out of the woodworks, and it's like, well, Dino, it's like a Rod Stewart concert. When they start playing, you realize you know all the songs, and from 708, Judy's got one of our favorites on here. Judy, welcome to WGN.
Hi.
What you got, Judy?
How about Slapshot with Paul Newman?
Yes.
Best hockey movie ever.
Judy, you just said the name of my favorite sports movie of all time, and I have no problem sharing that with everybody. It's a great movie. I mean, Paul Newman won. It's one of I love this piece of trivia. It's one of Paul Newman's, if not his, most favorite role he ever played. Because it got him to do something he had never done. He had never been anywhere near any of that before.
And it was just so ridiculous.
Yeah. And I was going to say, that's the other thing. It's screwball. It's funny. It's got heart. It's got, it's able to laugh at itself and showcase a sport that, you know, even back then wasn't the most popular sport for anybody to watch. And it's still not.
Right.
But it's got a bigger following now. So I'm hoping that out there, if you're listening to this and you have not seen Slapshot, thank you so much, Judy. You're going to pick this movie up and watch it.
Yeah. Thanks, Judy. Thanks for weighing in. We appreciate it.
You know, the thing about that movie, too, my dad played a lot of semi-pro hockey. And, you know, he's put in men's leagues and stuff. And so it reminded me of a lot of that.
Yeah.
Old rinks that were, you know, old.
Old
rinks, know, a lot, yeah. You know, hanging out with the other players. You know, it was one of those things that...
Taping your glasses.
The Hanson brothers, you know, running around causing trouble. It was a lot of fun. That was a great movie.
Keeping it on the hockey side of things, we've got Corky calling in with Mystery Alaska. Hey, Corky, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thank you. I listen to Dean every Sunday morning and have talked to him a couple times.
Well, great. Well, so you're bringing in the hockey movies, and what was it about Mystery Alaska that you like so much?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, Russell Crowe was the coach, this little town in Alaska with these kids in the soccer team, and how they ended up playing some big shot team. It was just very heartwarming. A lovely story.
Yeah, the small town pretty much invests everything in trying to build this massive outdoor pond because they always play on a pond. But
yeah,
They're bringing the New York Rangers to play an exhibition game.
Okay, and then remember the name.
Yeah,
of the team.
And then
yeah,
the league and the team they don't want to play the game because it might endanger the players. But then they have to like sue the league, and it's this huge deal, and then it becomes a big spectacle. But Mike Myers has a small part in the end of it as a Canadian. He is a Canadian, but as a Canadian, like, you know, hockey aficionado broadcaster,
right,
that, you know, like if you're enjoying the movie enough, you know, up to the final, the big game, then Mike Myers shows up and he just throws in these little like quick cameo bits that are just, to me, they're pretty priceless. I have honestly seen this movie probably 8 or 9 times.
Okay.
I love this film.
I loved it too. And I appreciate you taking my call.
You got a fellow fan. Thanks, Corky.
Okay.
And then, sorry to snip you there, we've got Dave on the line. Dave, welcome to WGN.
Morning.
So what,
one of my favorite sports movies is called the Jericho Mile.
That's about the guy that's in prison, right? That does the run, it's like his quest for redemption, his personal quest for redemption.
Right, and a prison employee puts a stopwatch on him, and they find out he's running at Olympic level time. So the prisoners build a track for him, and they bring in a college team, and he blows those guys away, and then they want him to go to the Olympic trials, but he doesn't want to leave the prison. Because his mindset, he's got a life sentence, so he doesn't want to leave. It's a really good movie.
I was gonna say this has got one of those. It's one of the unsung, you know, heroes as far as sports movies go. Like, it's not going to be on everybody's list
because he's convicted.
But
prison resident.
But I love that this came up because this is one of those things where, I mean, to me, this is an overlooked film. I mean, I'm 32, so like these types of movies I don't always get to see. I just looked it up as you were describing it. It came out in 79. It came out before I was born. It wasn't one that, you know, gets a lot of play on TV, or at least when I would watch TV, it didn't, you know, get a lot of play. So, but it has an interesting, you know, sort of man versus self and man versus man type conflict.
Yeah, and then
I like
the quest for redemption.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for weighing in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, we got the sports movies, combination prison movies with Longest Yard. I think we're getting somewhere here, and you build in the Olympics. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of your favorite sports and football movies of all time, as well as some general sports stuff and sports experiences. We've got the guys from Big Game Air. We've got Todd Rubin, I think, is going to be in studio with us. He'll bring you to your favorite sporting event, wherever it is around the country, and do it in style. Dino Tiberi is in studio. Blake Stubbs, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on 720 WGN. WGN, Daniel here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in Fort Dean until 1 p.m. We are talking movies, talking a little bit of movies, a little bit of sports, a little sports movies, a little bit of sports experience. Dino Tiberi is with us. He is going to be heading off to the Bears. Going to make that commute, right? A mile or so. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's
south?
A couple miles south of here. I'm normally used to going to a Cub game after sometimes being in here. But
you're multi-directional. You can go north. You can go south.
Yeah, you know, the way the Cubs have been playing the last couple of days, it's better to go south today. So, because they seem to be going south right now against the Brewers.
And at this point, the Bears are undefeated. Blake Stubbs is with us as well. Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, talking about your favorite sports movies, favorite football movies, some of the ones that came through during the break, and you can add yours at 312-981-7200. Jerry Maguire. More about sports management,
right? I mean, sports management, being an agent, knowing what it's like to be behind the scenes, but at the same time, there is a great football story there, you know, that is the backdrop for really after everything comes crashing down. That ends up being the launch pad for the rest of the story.
League of Their Own, and we're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later. Yes. Raging Bull, which is another...
Probably one of the finest, if not the finest, technically made sports films of all time.
And then the second finest technically made sports film of all time, Youngblood with Rob Lowe.
Yes. So, many thoughts about that one as well.
So you can experience your favorite sports in the movie theater at home through the magic of whatever kind of playback machine. Or you can do it in person. Dino, you said we're going to make that commute a little bit south for the Bears game today. A guy is in studio with us that can make your sports dreams come true and take you anywhere that you want to go, any place in the country that your favorite sporting event is happening. Todd Rubin and Big Game Air can bring you there. Todd, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here, because you could be anywhere at this point. I mean, I think yesterday was the inaugural flight for the company. Excited about it. And let us know a little bit about your day yesterday.
Yeah. So we flew our inaugural flights. We flew two flights. One went to Ann Arbor for the Michigan-Cincinnati game, and the other went to Columbus for the OSU-Oklahoma game. So I'm off the jet and onto your radio show, basically.
Well, here's the thing is, and let's do it in a nutshell. Basically, what you have, and you can explain it, Big Game Air is a company that you and Arturo came up with as a way to allow sports fans to kind of go anywhere, be anywhere for their favorite sporting events. But explain kind of the motivation for starting it and how it works.
That's right, sure. So what we do is we provide same-day round-trip jet service to high fan-demand sporting events. So we'll get you to your bucket list game and we'll get you home. You could be watching the highlight reel on your couch the night for a game you were at two states over. The idea came from the necessity, because everybody needs to go to a football game. But, you know, you got to go to the game, but you also have to get home. And my partner, Arturo's wife, was pregnant. We wanted to go to the Iowa-Michigan game. I'm a Hawkeye. He went to Michigan. This was last year. And he told his wife, who is expecting their firstborn child 2 weeks prior to the game, he said, "I'm going to Iowa City for the weekend." And she said, "You're not going." And he called me up. He said, "Do you think we could get a plane to go to the game and get us back home?" And we kind of made that happen. We were just trying to go see a football game. And we said, maybe there's something here. So, you know, over the last year, we put this thing together.
For personal reasons, obviously you're bringing people together here and you're making sure that you're back. I think that's great. It takes a lot of the extended time period all the pain of the travel out of it, especially if you can fly private. That's great. But was it just that you're like, we want to do this ourselves. Let's set up a company where we can not only do it ourselves, but bring some people along.
Pretty much we started, testing people's appetite for this type of thing. And we set a price and people literally just started lining. I want to go. We needed another plane. We got another plane. And then we said, can we do this? And we went down that path of figuring out how to do it the right way, how to do it the legal way, and how to market this thing. And all roads led us to yesterday. So
let listeners know we're talking with Todd Rubin. He's the co-founder of Big Game Air. It is one of those things that you invent that everybody's going to be excited about. Everybody's going to want to do it, but it isn't necessarily for everybody. You got to be like a real sports fan. You got to want to do it. There's obviously going to be some costs. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about that stuff as well. But let's talk about the kind of things and events that you can do. You mentioned a couple, I don't want to say obscure, but not like, you know, some of them was the ESPN game, but you also do some marquee games that like the whole country would want to go to, too, not just fans from, you know, like Kentucky Derby. You're looking to go to the Super Bowl, things like that.
Yeah. You know, that's the first question everybody asks. They say, what about golf? What about concerts? What about
the Masters? Concerts would be perfect. I mean, the amount of events that people would want to go to, if they could just take, you know, and put their finger on a map and say, I can be there, is endless.
It's anywhere there's a runway. you know, it has to start somewhere. And we feel that college football was where the inception of this thing came. And the passions run high, especially in the Big Ten. And we think this is the right place to be and the right launch because, you know, some of these towns are small. They're not accessible by major airports. We can get you in. You know, OSU last night, that's a six-hour drive. It's on Eastern time zone. You're going to drive there. You're going to spend all day in a car. I mean, we got you there. The flight was 48 minutes, and we're on the deck and at OSU and headed to the game. I mean, it was just, it's a surreal experience.
For those people who have not, and the whole private air situation, that industry has changed quite a bit. So for people that are thinking that it's just for like Elvis, you know, it's changed quite a bit where there's different companies out there. Obviously you guys are doing it that are making it. And the industry itself is kind of changing and become a lot more accessible, a lot more transparent, less mysterious, more affordable, you know, where it is actually possible. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into some of those things, some of the different events, kind of what it costs, what's included. And this is definitely like a VIP experience in every respect, because there is no substitute to not having to go to like a regular airport. I've had an opportunity to fly in some different situations through smaller planes and private planes. Certainly everybody's worried about the Buddy Holly experience. You don't want to have any problems, but the planes these days are amazing. And I mean, like you said, if you don't have to sit there for 2 hours before, go through all the security checkpoints and all that, it can streamline things, get you there, get you back, get you to the game. We are going to be right back after this quick breaks. 312-981-7200. You can still add your favorite sports movie, your favorite football movie of all time. It's Dane here and for Dean on 720 WGN. WGN, it is Dane in for Dean until 1 p.m. here on 720 WGN, All-State Showcase Studio, where it is the calm before the Bears' first victory, right, Dino?
Well, let's hope so.
And the calm before they start writing the screenplay for the Bears' Super Bowl thing, right, Blake?
Absolutely. And we're just not sure if it's going to be a comedy or an uplifting film or a tragedy.
Or just, yeah, a disaster.
We're gonna figure it out.
Win or lose, there is no substitute for being there. And the guy in studio for Big Game Air, Todd Rubin, one of the co-founders of that, is doing just that, making it possible for you to be at your favorite big bucket list sporting events. You got ones like the Super Bowl, the Kentucky Derby, and then you've got games that you wouldn't necessarily get to go to, some of these marquee matchups in college football. Todd, welcome back to WGN.
Thank you.
So let's talk. I know the question that people have is, and we talked about it, everybody's going to want to do it. This is going to be really cool stuff. So how did you guys work together? I'm sure that was part of the model. You wanted to make it so as many people as possible could participate in it. So what are some of the costs, you know, and how does it work, and what do you get?
Sure. Well, the cost, basically our range starts from $1,200 and can go anywhere up to $2,200 per seat. That depends on how far we're flying, where we're going, the event we're going to. And the aircraft we're using. So, you know, if we're flying, we're in the experience business as well. So, the jet is definitely a big part of it, but it's the experience. It's getting you to the game. It's flying you with, for instance, yesterday to the Michigan game, Jay Uchesson flew on that plane. He went to Michigan. He's with the Kansas City Chiefs now. And the guys who were on that plane got to experience and ask him questions. And what's it like to run out of the tunnel? What was it like beating up on the Patriots on Thursday night in Foxborough? It's the experience. It's creating memories. And when we customize those experiences, there's a premium to it. So if it was just a get me there, get me on the jet, get me to the game, that's going to be a lower price point. If it's an inclusive experience, we get you on the field. We get you on a plane with Jerry Azuma's flying with us to Lambeau up to enemy territory on the 28th,
nice.
Thursday night. So those are going to have a little higher price point. So, but there's something for everyone. We're making it accessible for people.
How cool is that? Was that part of the model that you guys thought of to build in initially too? Was to, because those people have to get to the game too, is to have some of these kind of ambassadors from that sport be on the plane with you.
Yeah, it's something that people want. People really want that experience. They want to talk to the guys they've watched on the field. They want to talk to radio personalities, TV guys, ESPN.
Get ready, Dane.
We're going to the Southwest. South Dakota game.
It's all the questions about sports or what that world's like that they just don't know. You know, they know what they watch on TV and they know what they see in the stadium, but they don't know, this gives them the ability, at least some one-on-one time with people in on a plane going to a game.
So Todd, my new best friend, how
about the Canucks game?
I was going to say, about how many people, you know, like if I had a group of friends, mm-hmm. you know, like, is there like a set number that we can bring as a party? Like, do you try to get multiple parties on a plane? Can you rent a whole plane?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the question, I guess.
Sure. Great question. We sell individual seats, but we can gauge people's interest through wait lists on games. So if there's a high demand for a game that we don't have on our schedule and we see that demand coming through, then we can commission a plane. If you wanted a straight charter, if you came to me and said, listen, I got eight friends, we're ready to rock and roll, we want to go to the Canucks game, right?
Yeah.
I can do that. We can do that.
Okay.
That's different. But the ability to just purchase a seat, we do all that work for you. So
perfect.
if you wanted to charter a plane, you'd have to go collect money from your friends, and maybe they renege on you, and you don't, you know, and you got a contract.
You know your friends, Blake. Right.
Yeah, I know my friends.
But
my friends know me too.
We can charter a plane for you.
Okay.
We can sell you an individual seat on a plane. We can do all those things. So,
the Blackhawks versus the Golden Knights is a possibility. It may not be in your like standard docket right now, but if I have my
crew,
we could get together and say, "Hey, Todd,
crew. I like
who's probably going to come with me. My entourage.
As soon as we're off the air, you and I are going
to
make that.
We're
going
to have a talk.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've got some forms for you to sign. I think you guys are in business. So what's great about it is that you do have, so you get to get there and you get to get back, but you have access to some of these kind of upgrades, like you said, get on the field and certainly the tickets and things like that. Is that something that you include in all of it? Or is there some kind of range with the tickets? Or are they typically good?
Sure. Well, that's a good question. To clarify, the package does not include, in some cases it will include a ticket to the game, but it doesn't. The reason why it doesn't is because everyone has their own idea of what a good seat is. Some people want to be on the 50-yard line. Some people want to be on the 10-yard line. Some people don't care. They just get me in the building. We partnered with SeatGeek. So on our site, it'll say, do you have a ticket to the game? Great. Need a ticket? Click here. And you can purchase your own ticket anywhere you want. And, you know, the ticket business is a fluctuating market. So, you know, it's an entirely different business, and we can't really gauge where people want to sit. So if we buy a block of tickets, people don't want those tickets. They're going to go buy on their own anyway. This way, we give them the tool to make a purchase on our website. Yeah. And
the ticket business is a tough anomaly, mm-hmm. or a tough entity, I would think, to have any control over. And so having a partnership, at least, that makes more sense.
No, it makes sense. Yeah, somebody had texted with the price range, and you mentioned kind of $1,200. And it seems, you know, if it's a bucket list event for you, people are mm-hmm. spending that no matter what anyway to get into mm-hmm. it. It can kind of go up from there, and you can have different ways to incorporate either an athlete or some of the things that you might be able to do on the field. If you can describe the private jet situation is, for those people who've never, probably the vast majority of the listening audience, is I think the benefits of it are the convenience, right? The speed, the access. But it isn't like a big, you know, these things, they hold maybe 15 people or so. And
12 to 16. We fly heavy jets, so a Dassault Falcon. We flew a Falcon 900, to be specific. They're fast. They're beautiful planes.
Yep.
And you don't have to go through security. So it's get on the plane and you're vertical in, you know, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, time is the real commodity here. And a lot of people don't have the time or are not allowed, with your wife or your girlfriend doesn't allow you, yep. to go back to your college town for 48 hours. So with the surge pricing with hotels and college towns and anywhere, you know, we're going to an NFL game in Green Bay, you want to stay at a hotel. The price surges, you know, you're staying at $600 a night.
Right.
So you start stacking up the costs next to each other and it
you're
starts
better off just getting on a plane and getting out of there
with a better experience.
That's right. It's so unique. It's one of those things where you've done it. You have to, until you've walked on one of these planes and experienced it, it doesn't really do it justice. Once you've done it, you understand.
Right. Well, and it feels a little less tense, you know, like if you ever have booked.
Well, for you, Blake, you look at the posse and you look at some
when
of
I got
the,
my crew,
the outfits,
you know. But no, the idea of, I mean, like, okay, look, I lived in Peoria and was driving up to Blackhawks games all the time. One of my best friends worked for him, so I had a connection, right? I went to games. I loved it. The problem was that you have 5 hours of driving for maybe a three-hour game.
That's right.
And so this alleviates a lot of that because there's no pressure. The plane's going to take off when we get there, and it's going to take off when we come back from the game.
You have more ground time in the game day city. So if you drive there, you're right. You're driving a round trip with 8 hours for 3 hours on the ground.
Yes.
Here we were on the ground for – we got there yesterday in Columbus. We arrived at 4:30 mm-hmm. Eastern time. We had 3 hours before the game started. The game was – it ran a little long, that game. It 4 hour game, and we were out of there. We were wheels up at
that's
an hour after the game,
and the plane wasn't going to take off without you.
I hope not.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Well, but that's another one of the benefits. Not that you intend to be necessarily late, but I remember trying to fly REM back from the Kentucky Derby one time, and they were an hour late, and the plane still waited for them. So you have a little bit of flexibility on that. Big Game Air, and Todd Rubin, one of the co-founders, is here with us, and we've got maybe a minute or so. People have been texting in about like the food situation. How does that work? Is there usually food on board? The flights are quick. You don't need it, I guess.
There's beverage service. There's snacks. In certain instances, we got pizza last night for everybody that was delivered to the FBO, and we got it on the plane for the return flight. So, keep everybody happy. The flights right now are an hour or less, so there's not a lot of time to eat a full meal, so to speak.
And,
everyone's, it's have a beer, have a Bloody Mary, have a mixed drink, snack on something, and we're there.
So, Todd, before we go to the break, give the website out again, how people can get in touch with you and get on board.
BigGameAir.com.
It's that simple. BigGameAir.com. Todd Rubin, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for
Thank
being
you.
In studio. We're going to take a break before we send it to news. It's Dane in for Dean on 720 WGN.
There
it is.
Hopefully we'll be singing that song a lot today, Dan.
I don't even know if there's words to it. 720 WGN.
There is. After every scored point, they sing.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
That's right.
720 WGN, Allstate Showcase Studio here on the day, the most optimistic day in the football season, the day when the Bears are still undefeated, as for at least the moments, right? Dino Tiberi is in studio. He's going to be going out there to cheer them on to victory as they hopefully pluck the Falcons.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be an upset today, and I know the Falcons are favored by a touchdown, and I was a betting man, which you know, I might go with the Falcons covering today, but Bears don't really lose at home. I think this might be the Falcon might be ripe for an upset today.
I think so. I'm feeling it. We have been talking about, in full Dean Richards style, some of your favorite movies of all time, your favorite sports movies of all time, favorite football movies of all time. Blockbuster Blake Stubbs in studio with us, and we've been navigating the very populated waters of favorite sports movies for our listeners. We've had like a ton of them come through in and in studio with us as well. We're going to be talking for probably the remainder of the program until one. We're going to get into a little bit of food, some tailgating, and then of course Chicago Gourmet. Dave Hammond is here as well. He is the dining and drinking editor, right, for the New City Magazine. Always great to have. Now, guys, you guys feel like you're adventurers. I know Blake, you are, and Dino, of course, you are as well.
With my crew.
But Dave Hammond is a true Renaissance man. He has traveled to the ends of the earth in search of great food, interesting company, and good times. He has even been the Mezcal Mule, correct?
I was the Mezcal Mule. I went with some friends to Oaxaca, and we brought back a vast quantity of mezcal. I mean, just a mind-numbing amount. It was
literally.
It was probably like 40 liters, something like that, 45 liters. And a lot of people say, "Wait, can you get that through? Can you get?" And it was like, "Yes, you can."
With
you
balloons and a lot of
a lot of
grease and some palms. That's all.
Maybe an empty wheel well.
The you just have to pay if you're flying it in $3.75 for every liter over 2 liters that you bring in, just $3.75. So you can bring in really a large amount. Now my friend Lou Bank, who's bringing Mexico in a bottle to Chicago in a couple of weeks, an event where we sample different mezcals, he actually was stopped on the Mexican side with like 100 liters. They said no, that's a fire hazard, but they let him go with 60 liters. So my guess is one of the
60's okay, but 100's a little
right. That's
too
not
much.
Really that flammable, but 100 is like out of control. So my guess is, of course, the customs guys were going to party that night.
Oh, sure, Mexico they kept City the other 40 for
that
themselves
that night and the remainder right. of the week.
we'll be exploring the amount of liters necessary for the perfect tailgate as we get into a little bit later too. But as we've been talking about sports movies, Kevin Costner, we talked about him being a part of so many different sports movies in his sizzle reel as he is trying to get that next role. If it's a sports movie, he's got some really good street cred. Kurt Russell, we brought it up too, and Dave, to adding to it, had brought up, was it Flubber or Son of Flubber?
I think of it as Flubber, but it's called The Absent-Minded Professor, starring Fred McMurray, where he invents this substance, Flubber, that he can put in his mitt, and he rubs the ball against it as a pitcher, throws it in, and then it flies right around the bat. So we're all rooting for him, of course, but this is really a glorification of cheating.
Oh, yeah, it's cheating, like through and through.
We're rooting for him, but it's like, we hope he gets away with this.
Is it cheating if the person cheating is someone, let's say, we're rooting for?
Yeah,
and
right.
then number two, it's kind of a magical substance that we're just amazed exists.
Yeah. I think never meet your heroes, kids.
I think the Brewers are using some of that Flubber material right now at the Cubs' bats because they've scored a grand total of 2 runs in 2 games. We've got to get that right.
Well, before we spring Dino in a couple minutes, let's talk about what do the Cubs have to do? Because, you know, they have kind of put themselves in position with a great second half to go ahead and, you know, and win the division, get into the playoffs. Anything can happen. But these Brewers, typically they'll collapse by now. What's going on?
Well, they've been a resilient bunch this year, Dane. So far, they've given the Cubs all they want in these last 2 ball games, and they're not going away. The Cubs have to go up to play them next in about a week and a half for 4 games up at Miller Park. So it's imperative that they win today's game to make sure they can get that lead back to 4 games over the Brewers. And kind of stem the tide of momentum that they've picked up by beating the Cubs the first two games here at Wrigley.
I do have to break in with some good Cubs news. Wilson Contreras has been activated. He is off the disabled list, and he is expecting to start on Tuesday. Not today, but he is back with the club, and he should join the team early this week.
Oh, that's fantastic news because the lineup really could use his bat. He was on such a hot streak right before he was injured, and Avila and the other guy that they picked up from the Mets all have been doing a fine job, but he's got it. If his bat's on, he's a great hitter. You put him in the four spot, and I think that just picks up everybody around you. So that's a big boost for them to get him back. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and thanks, Sam. Before we get done with the movie segment, I wanted to get your thoughts. Of course, you're covering live sports on a regular basis. You're experiencing it live. But when you sit back and you think to yourself, I need to watch something, maybe a sports-related movie perhaps, what is it that does it for you, Sam?
Major League's my favorite. Major League.
That's a great one. Yeah. How did we not say Major League?
Favorite sports movie. It's not even close. I also like the Bad News Bears. And then I wanted to cross into a couple others. White Men Can't Jump in basketball. And then Remember the Titans and Varsity Blues in football.
Yeah, yes. We mentioned those earlier. Right?
I was going to say, I think my mind has just been on all football, like trying to find those some of those niche football films that a lot of people don't like. The Program, you know, like nobody texted that in today. But, yeah, you bringing up Major League, oh, that's a big one. That's
Tire
one of the funniest.
World. Yeah, when he's working the Tire World. Lou Brown's the Tire World. They're like, Lou, we'd like to talk to you about managing a big league club.
I got some white walls I'm working on the other line.
Let me get back to you.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Sam. All right. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we may talk a little bit more movies for the next 15 minutes. You can still add yours, 312-981-7200, to call in, text in with your favorite sports movies of all time, your favorite football movies as we get towards the Bear season. Dino is going to be leaving us.
Well, it's time to go. And, you know, I'm a Bear fan and a Cub man, and I hope everyone is too. So long, everybody.
And then Dave Hammond is going to be in with us for the remainder of the program, talking some tailgating, some sports food, and then, of course, we're going to get all the way into his adventures and Chicago Gourmet. So a quick break. We'll be back right after this. It's Dane and for Dean on 720 WGN. Wow. Some smooth, yeah. Tom Hush in the control booth adding a little bit of smooth to the classic rock we've been enjoying, along with the sports themes that he's been playing in honor of the Day of Optimism as the Bears are completely undefeated, maybe for the last day. Who knows? 720 WGN. Dane here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And in studio with us, we have Dave Hammond. He is the dining and drinking editor for New City Magazine. And we also have tailgate expert, aficionado, and force for good in the world of food, the one and only Beth Peterson. Ooh, Beth, welcome back to WGN, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, Dane.
So when it comes to kind of partying with food, Dave, of course, you're, a food, not only a lover, but an aficionado, and you explore the world when it comes to food, looking again for great flavors, great experiences, and you have done that. People celebrate with food oftentimes kind of in that backdrop of sports, and tailgating is kind of, it's a little bit different. It's not necessarily street food. It's kind of like a mobile pop-up restaurant right in a parking lot.
Yeah, and run by civilians.
Right. But some of them, it's kind of professional,
they
right?
They get professional. They take it very seriously.
They take it pretty seriously. Yeah. So Dave, I know that you're not the hugest sports fans, but when you have found yourself, albeit a hostile witness possibly, in a sports-related or tailgate environment, what do you gravitate towards?
You know, I eat a lot of different types of food, but the one food I crave uniformly all the time, and this could be a result of upbringing, I love meat. I just love meat, beef, steak, that sort of thing. And so what I would gravitate for would probably be simpler preparations of really great meat.
So that's it. Keep it simple, kind of.
For me, yeah. Yep. I mean, although what Beth's got going over here looks pretty cool. But my tendency is to go toward simple beef preparations because I love meat.
You're in good shape then when it comes to tailgating, because that's pretty much what's happening out there.
Yeah.
I mean, people do get a little bit fancy, but I have to say most of it is some serious protein on the grill.
Okay. So you say fancy, and tailgating is one of those things that's not often thought of as fancy. But it is the kind of thing where there is, I think there's some street cred. There's certainly some bragging rights when it comes to the presentation side of it.
For sure.
For the tailgate. So how do you do what Dave loves, which is bring meat to the party, but then also kind of either decorate for the party, maybe with the on the fan side, or, yeah, or give kind of a versatile diversity of snacks people enjoy on game day?
Well, that's kind of my specialty. I sort of leave the meat protein stuff to the guys, quite frankly. And that tends to be sort of their realm in the tailgate world. And what I have found over all of the tailgating events that I've done, and I've done many, many all around the country, is that there's that protein, there's that grill, the guys got that covered. Usually it's the wings and the chili they've got covered too. But all those great little side dishes, the desserts, the dips, all of the very cute and delicious little side things that really make up the bulk of the tailgate food, it's done by the ladies. Mm. And so
stuff that needs finessing.
The stuff that needs a little finessing, needs a little bit of decor, a little bit of, you know, fun and fluff, and to celebrate the spirit of the team and stuff like that. A lot of it is decorated sort of, you know, in team spirit. But it's gotten even a little bit more sophisticated than that. And like Dane was saying, you know, those bragging rights when it comes to like the wings and the proteins on the grill and stuff, it's the same thing that's happening on sort of the what I call the tailgate table, where, you know, people are bringing all those side dishes and stuff. Some of them are like these classic dishes that people bring every single week that everyone has been waiting for all year round to have, and they expect it to be on the table. But now there's some kind of interesting fun. The invent of Pinterest has done all that, I think.
Is it the kind of thing, and Beth, we wanted to get your thoughts on this, as kind of the food world has become a little more enlightened, people are, there's more information out there, people are aware of some of the cool things that can be done. Are people expecting more? Are they wanting more from their tailgate experience, where they're, you know, instead of, because before it used to be just, hey, have some beer, throw some brats on, maybe a burger, cheese, if you could do that, yeah, that would be great. But now people are kind of, they almost want to kind of kick it up a notch.
Yeah, I mean, I think the you know, it's Pinterest kind of is a little bit to fault in this area, and you know, Instagram and all of the great images out there, the food porn, if you will, of the tailgate world. I mean, And there is definitely an element of kind of elevating your tailgate.
And I think the raising the level of food play at the ballparks is reflective of an increasing,
sure,
American interest in good food. Like you have Doug Sohn of Hot Dogs serving at Sox Park. He's serving, not just serving ballpark Franks, it's his amazing encased meat creations.
Yeah, there's going to be a guy that Doug's been a great chat with Hot Dogs, but on the line with us, and we're going to get to him right after this quick break, so stay tuned, guys, because we're going to have a guy that's been bringing meat, Dave, you'll be happy to hear this, to the party for many, many, many years, many championships, and now a Hall of Fame under his belt. Stay tuned, because right after this quick commercial break, we're going to have the one and only and Chicago's very own famous Dave Anderson joining us to give his thoughts on the Hall of Fame and, of course, some tips for your tailgate as the Bears season starts. It's a quick break here. It's Dane on 720 WGN. You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. 720 WGN. Dane Neal here in for Dean until 1 p.m. today. Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. You look at great balls of fire. He is bringing grills of fire, right, to many places, whether it's competition, whether it's the restaurants around the country, whether it's to the party, whether it is to the tailgate. And he joins us not only as one of the leading forces in and one of the all-time greats of the grill, but also now a recent barbecue Hall of Famer, the one and only famous Dave Anderson. Welcome back to your station. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane, what a fun day. And I really like the topic about being unpredictable, jump-starting the tailgate. And what a great song, Great Balls of Fire. I could just imagine some really tasty, robust meatballs and a jump-started barbecue sauce. You know, in fact, let me spill the beans on making a great meatball barbecue sauce that would make even Jerry Lee Lewis get up and excited. You know, a lot of people, they'll just take some barbecue sauce and they'll put it on the pan and put it on a char grill or something. What I like to do is take some apricot preserves, some Kahlua, and some peach schnapps, and then chop up some jalapeno peppers. Mix that all in your favorite barbecue sauce. Hopefully it's Famous Dave's barbecue sauce. And,
yes,
and even there you can get creative, because you can take some of Famous Dave's rich and sassy, some sweet and zesty, and then when you add the apricot preserves and the Kahlua and the peach schnapps and some chopped up jalapenos, I'm telling you, you've got yourself some meatballs that'll make your tailgate party stand up and take notice.
Wow. All right. Yeah, thanks, Dave. I think everyone is taking notice from that. So when it comes to it, people do expect a lot from you. And now, of course, that you are a Hall of Famer, you know, you've got to kind of come through on the tailgate. So what are some of your favorite things? You mentioned the meatballs, and I think that's great. And it's kind of a new twist on things. You don't see it every day at the tailgate. But do you have any kind of standards that you bring or would suggest people bring to game day?
Well, I don't know about standards, you know. And by the way, who had ever guessed some Indian kid growing up on the west side of Chicago would become a barbecue Hall of Famer? You know, it just goes to show in this great country, if you never ever give up on your dreams, that, you know, almost the impossible can happen. But anyway, you're right. And I think one of the reasons why I'm a Hall of Famer is because I don't do what everybody else does. For example, and just like everybody's been talking about, just bringing hot dogs or burgers or brats, you know, there's some fun things that you can do even with jalapeno poppers, and not just stuff cream cheese in it, but I would take something like a onion soup mix or you got dried fruit like dried cranberries that you can stuff into the cream cheese, and that's a little added extra surprise that you don't generally see in a jalapeno popper. But it's little things like that are surprising that makes your tailgate experience a little bit more rewarding than what everybody else is, same old, same old.
You know, Dave, we've got to be kind of on time. Like at 10:02, we've got to break for a couple minutes for ABC to give an update on the important hurricane stuff that's happening down with Hurricane Irma. When we come back from that, I definitely want to get your thoughts on the Hall of Fame, a career in barbecue, a career in grilling. It's neat to get that highest honor and kind of join some of all of our friends, you know, people that you know and love. But before we go to that, I wanted to ask you, of course, people think of you as kind of a national figure. You are, after all, Famous Dave. People may know about the original place in Hayward, Wisconsin. They know that you're in Minnesota now. But a really, really, really quick thing, you know, you're from Chicago originally. Are you a Bears fan? Or are you a Packer fan? Are you a Minnesota fan? Where do you land?
Well, first of all, I'm a Cubs fan.
Number one.
And that was so huge to win the series. My dad was rolling his grave, I know, but my wife, who grew up being a Cubs fan, I mean, the whole family was so happy last year. But yes, I'm a Bears fan. I used to go watch Michael Jordan play when he was playing when I was growing up there. I love Chicago. The energy is great in Chicago. There's no other city like it. And a lot of people don't know that Chicago has its own barbecue history.
It does. It does. And we'll talk about that when we come back from the ABC news break. But it's good to hear, you know, with so many, you got to be a lot of things to a lot of people, especially when you are a Famous Dave. But to know that you've got that affinity for Chicago and Chicago sports is good to hear as we kind of enjoy and take to heart some of your suggestions on the tailgate side. It is a little bit before 10 o'clock, and we are going to send it up to Dave Schwann for our next update on Hurricane Irma. Dave? So many Daves. We got Dave Hammond in here. He would be notable, Dave. We talked about it. Like, how do we, you know, when you've got one Famous Dave on the line, Famous Dave Anderson, and then you've got Notable Dave, and of course we've got our amazing news guy, Dave Schwann. It's tough. So, Dave, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on today.
Well, no, you're still...
Let me just put a shout-out. I know this Hall of Fame is we want to talk about, but let me just give a shout-out to Operation Barbecue Relief, which I'm a huge part of.
Yep.
A lot of people may not know this, but we were down in Hurricane Harvey struck Texas. We fed almost 350,000 people down in Texas, and I know once the rain and the hurricane settles down in Florida, we're going to be down there too. The barbecue community in Chicago is very instrumental. Sweet Baby Ray, Dave Raymond, Barry Sorkin, a lot of these guys just step up contribute. I know Famous Dave's does, other pit masters around the country, because we do a lot of catering throughout the year. We're really equipped, and we go down there with our smokers, and many times we're the first ones to provide hot meals to those folks who haven't had a hot meal in days.
Dave,
so I just wanted to share that with your listeners.
Yeah, no, you said it, David. I'm so glad that you brought it up. Those guys do such an amazing job for Operation Barbecue Relief, and we'll make sure to put a link to what it is that they're doing up at WGNradio.com for the post. But yes, they do it, and it's kind of I don't want to say it's the craziest thing, but it's certainly something that they're doing that's kind of out of the norm of thought. But barbecue is that perfect food. You always bring it up. It is a food for celebration. It is also a food for kind of healing, right? And you bring it down there, and you mentioned it too. It's very mobile, and they do a great job with
community.
It.
Community. I mean, mm-hmm. I think barbecue is a communal event. People get around the fire, cook meat.
You talk about a pig roast, right? Everybody gets together. It's kind of for the group. Well, a communal.
I've always said there's an instinctual primal need for man to chew smoky charred meat off a bone, because it just brings out everybody's inner caveman. I think that's one of the reasons why Harley Davidson and, you know, like Jack Daniels are really lifestyle brands, because I think there's something within us. You know, we have that adventuresome spirit, you know, that just wants to get out and cast off whatever and just be free. And when you light up the fire and you get a pig, you get a roast or whatever, and you put it on the fire, and then you do some crazy stuff with barbecue sauces, like making, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that you can redo really well that's tasty, like blackberry barbecue sauce or cranberry barbecue sauce that can really jumpstart anybody's barbecue.
Well, you're making us hungry, just as you have done throughout your entire career. And in the, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes that we have, talk a little bit about it. You know, got a career, a lot of success, a lot of places, making a lot of people happy, helping people, doing what it is that you do. You know, you'd be doing it anyway. You have it. You're hardwired for this, Dave. This is something you're super passionate about. But to have that recognition and join the other greats in that Hall of Fame, talk a little bit about how it felt to be there and have it all happen at the American Royal.
Well, first of all, the American Royal is the country's largest and oldest, most prestigious barbecue event that was held on Labor Day weekend in Kansas City. There's something like 50,000 people show up. It's a huge party, and everybody that's who's who in the barbecue world is all there. Johnny Trigg was there, Big Mo Kayson. You had Myron Mixon and his son, Famous Dave's. We were there in force. There's just a lot of great barbecue people that, from all over the country. We all gather there. We have one big, huge celebration, a big party, and then to be recognized by your peers, some of the best pit masters in the country, saying, Dave, for your lifetime of barbecue, making a lot of people happy, but it's more than that, too. It's what we do in the community that I think makes us stand out. It isn't just serving barbecue, but, you know, there's a lot of things that we do because we care. We give back in our communities. Even yesterday, I was in Chicago. I was in Riverside at the Famous Dave's there. We raised over $3,500 in just a couple of hours for a young lad who was battling terminal cancer. And the community came out. We had our new fresh, our crispy fried chicken that we're rolling out. We were giving that away. We had a whole hog smoked up. We were selling ribs for $1 a bone. And it was just something that we did to help this young lad and their family that had just been struggling with terminal cancer. It's just an awful thing. So, you know, it's stuff like that that we do that I'm a big believer, you know, because when you look at my life, I never thought that I would succeed. I've been through some rough times myself, but you never, ever give up. And when you go through that, you just want to help other folks.
Well, bless you, Dave. Bless you for what you're doing. Of course, all the well-deserved success that you're having and all the ways that you've taken a life in barbecue and kind of not only made people happy through food, but also helped people in a bunch of different ways. So that is great. Before we let you go and go to news, you know, give it, is it famousdaves.com? And then give out your social media so people can follow all your adventures.
Yeah, folks, go to FamousDaves.com. We have a number of barbecue restaurants in the city there, or in Wisconsin, Minnesota, around in the area. Please come and visit us, and all my other barbecue friends, visit them. And if you want to, go to Dave Anderson. You'll find me there with my website, my Facebook. Please join. And to everybody, this is such a great country. I know we're going through some tough times. Let's help everybody out. And barbecue is America's food. It's how we celebrate. So may you always be surrounded with good friends and great-tasting barbecue.
We love you. What a nice message. Yeah, we love you, Dave. Take care, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Hey, take care.
Bye, Dave.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to send it to news. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal here in the Allstate Showcase studio in for Dean Richards until 1 p.m. today. And we have talked all things movies, sports eating, and then, of course, the sport of eating. And kind of the crown jewel as far as events when it comes to the sport of eating here in Chicago is Chicago Gourmet. It is coming up. I have been to it since it started. This is the 10th year of it. We do have Dave Hammond. He is in studio with us, hey, as man. Well, and Beth Peterson. And on the line with us, we have Serafin Alvarado. He is the master sommelier for Southern Glazer Wine and Spirits. Of course, we think about the food, so much a big part of it, the chefs, the events, the fun. Wine is, of course, going to be front and center as well. Serafin, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thank you, Dane. Thank you for having me.
So, great pleasure. So we're excited about this. I mean, everybody, you know, Chicago is excited as we lead up to it. The event in its 10th year is expanded to not only a full capacity, of course, but extra events that are full capacity. But all the while, wine is front and center. So how excited are you for an event like this?
Well, it's fascinating. You know, this has been an event that, like you mentioned, it's our 10th year anniversary. So I've been part of this since year one. So I've seen it grow into becoming one of the best, if not the best, event of this type in the United States. And it's fascinating because we have the resources here, particularly from a chef perspective. I think it's a great platform. It's a great way to showcase all the talent that we have here in Chicago in regards to restaurants. And Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits has been a partner sponsor of this event, but also brings resources in terms of all these great wineries that we represent and talent. One of the aspects that I'm involved is all the seminar component, the wine seminar component of the event. And through our network, we've been able to bring in 12 master sommeliers, which is no other festival in the United States is able to bring together this amount of talent for just one event.
Yeah, so it's not just eating. Yeah. It's also learning, too, right? Eating, drinking, and you get some education, too.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the great things about this event, that there's a little bit for everyone in that regard. So if education is something you want to do, you have all these demos from the chefs. There are two stages for that. You're also going to have the wine seminars. And these are 45-minute seminars, very quick, so you're not spending a lot of time in the classroom. And we try to make it very, very upbeat and very exciting. Top wine presented by all these top-tier wine professionals, which I think is one of the best-kept secrets of the entire festival, based on the quality of the wines that are presented inside those seminars.
Serafin, this is David Hammond. I have a question for you about the wine the wine selections you bring to Chicago Gourmet. How do you choose those wines? Are you looking for ones you know are going to be crowd pleasers, or ones that are a little outside the realm of
a little combination. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little combination. Usually on the lawn, we have wines that are a bit more crowd pleaser, and some in the twine, some more interesting stuff, a little bit higher end. But we have what is called the Grand Cru.
Grand Cru, yes.
Yeah, and the Grand Cru is a separate event within the event itself, which is a two-hour event. This year is sponsored by Celebrity Cruises. And what it does, it allows people to go in there and then really taste 200 top-tier wines. And those are curated by me, myself, and the team of master sommeliers. And just fascinating, because all you're tasting is top of the top.
And there are a lot of great events, a little side demos and so on at Chicago Gourmet. The Grand Cru that you mentioned actually still has tickets left for it, if anyone wants to go.
Still has tickets separate. There's five chefs per day on Saturday and Sunday. up there. So it just, this is a fascinating event. The energy is fascinating. It's great. The setting, Millennium Park, you can't beat it. It's just a, just beautiful, beautiful grounds, beautiful energy. And I have a seminar myself, if anybody's interested. I'm presenting on Saturday. I'm the last seminar of the day, 5:15 to 6 o'clock, and I'm doing a retrospective, basically going back to 2008 vintage, which was the first vintage of the Chicago Gourmet, first year of Chicago Gourmet.
Wow.
I like to think of Chicago Gourmet as being like wine, right? As it ages, it's getting better and better and better,
mm-hmm.
and more complex. So we wanted to establish a parallel with that, an analogy with that, with tasting top-tier wines from the 2008 vintage and see where they're now.
Well, it's nice to have that tie-in as well, letting the listeners know we're talking with Serafin Alvarado. He is the master sommelier for Southern Glazer Wine and Spirits. And you mentioned the seminars that are going on, and certainly people there, they're going to want to get a little bit of education. They can understand better the certain wines that are available at the festival. But you guys have some other topics, right? How do you kind of curate, and David asked about the wines themselves, but how do you curate the topics? Is it things that are maybe you're kind of saying, these are some of the trends, these are some of the things that people are looking for, these are the hot wines?
Absolutely.
How do you do it?
Absolutely. A little bit of classics. So we try to find things that are just themes that are very classic, that have an appeal in itself. And then we try to find things that are a little bit more current in terms of like classic, for example, champagne. Right? We have Alpine Singh doing a champagne presentation with Moët Hennessy. That doesn't go out of style. And then we have something a little bit more different, more contemporary, more what's going on with trends, with rosé. We have Madeleine Triffon, which was the first female master sommelier, joining us to do that presentation, which is just great to see what the trend is going on with rosé, how rosé has become from being misunderstood back then to becoming something more seasonal to is here to stay right now.
Serafin, what you need to know is on my phone case, it says Yes Way Rosé. I'm a big fan of the rosé. I wanted to say one of the cool things about this is that folks have access to these experts that normally you would never be able to have time with, you know, or not never, but you know what I mean? It would be hard to get access to folks from all around the country and the world. Like you have access to them during the programs that you've put together. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the people that are coming? You mentioned Alpina and some others, and of course you.
So we have individuals like local Alpina Singh, very well known, within the city of Chicago. She'll be participating. Joe Spellman, also well known from the city of Chicago. And then we have people like Fred Dane, for example, which in within the Master Sommelier organization is extremely highly regarded because he was the third American Master Sommelier and regarded as the person responsible for bringing the Master Sommelier program to America and mentoring so many people, including myself, to ultimately become Master Sommelier. So he has changed the way that wine and wine service has been in America in the last 20 years or so. So he'll be here. He has been part of the event since the beginning as well. We mentioned Madeleine Triffon, first female master sommelier, so very historical in terms of what she has done, inspiring many other female wine professionals to pursue to become a master sommelier, and she'll be in town. And amazing people.
That's
Eric
great.
Emer, which is one, Eric, very fascinating. There's two top credentials in the wine world. Master sommelier is one of them. The other one is master of wine. And we have Eric
That's
Emer
awesome.
Coming in, which he's both. He's a master sommelier and a master of wine. Yeah, so it's amazing. The talent is phenomenal, and the list goes on. And it's going to be great 2 days. And the 2 days is just the festival itself. We have all these other events that are occurring throughout the week as part of the 10-year celebration.
Yeah, we're going to have links to those up at WGNRadio.com. Amazing personalities, education, and once-in-a-lifetime situations, not only to meet some of these individuals, but taste some great food, and, of course, the best as far as the chefs of Chicago and from around the world. We're bringing in a bunch of people from all over as well for Chicago Gourmet. So the website is chicagogourmet.org. So, Serafin, give out information before we let you go, which we are going to, how people can get in on your seminar and get to see you.
Well, they can go to chicagogourmet.org, and you can see the whole schedule is going to be lined up there on Saturday and Sunday, like I said, and all these other events, like presented Bon Appetit, Tala Presenter, sponsored by Southern Glazer's Wine Spirits, and we're really excited. You can see the whole program, the whole talent, chefs, seminars, all that listed on the website.
Sarah,
so we're looking forward to have you there.
Excited about it. I know you're excited too, and Chicago is looking forward to it. So we'll see you there. And thanks for taking time on the show today.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Sarah.
Take care.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have our check-in with ABC as far as Hurricane Irma, and then we've got the Hamburger Hop. We're going to be featuring that in one of the great restaurants. It's going to be highlighted there as well. Right now, caring for aging parents can be stressful. Home Care Assistance is here to take away some of your worry by providing the best care so your loved ones can continue to live an active life in their own homes. At Home Care Assistance, experienced caregivers are trained in the award-winning balanced care method. This program helps older adults thrive at home by strengthening their minds and positively impacting their outlook on life. To learn more, call 312-380-6716 or visit homecareassistancechicago.com. All right, thanks, Dave. And we are back in 14 until 1 p.m. today on 720 WGN. And we just talked with Serafin Alvarado. He's the master sommelier for Southern Glazier Wine and Spirits. A lot of that happening at Chicago Gourmet, but we talk about some of the events that kind of are those signature gems that go along with that big festival type setting that they have at Millennium Park. And one of the ones that I have loved for the longest time is the Hamburger Hop. And it is, I mean, it's kind of almost like the unofficial kickoff. I know they've got some other events that are coming up in kind of auxiliary areas, but this is right there. And it is a source of pride and bragging mm-hmm. rights for those people that enter it and win over the years. To let people know who's in the studio, we've got Dave Hammond. He's the dining and drinking editor for New City. We've got tailgate expert aficionado, yummy network personality. Beth Peterson is in as well. And then we've got Tom Powers from Lunatic Lover and Poet. One of the, I don't want to say contestants, one of the entrants, one of the candidates for the championship at Hamburger Hop for Chicago Gourmet. Tom, welcome to WGN.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
So this is one of those events where it's all in fun. You know, right. I think it's a friendly competition, but the chefs really take it seriously.
Really
the restaurants
seriously.
Really take it seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see a level, you know, the pedestrian burger that is something people know and love, a tailgate barbecue. You guys step it up a notch. And so let's talk a little bit about the restaurant.
So we opened about 5 months ago, and we were very fortunate. For me, it was coming home. You know, Randolph Street was where I got started. So I opened Marché with Jerry Kleiner's group in 93. And I always wanted to come back to this business. In 96, I left to spend time with my son. My wife pleasantly reminded me that we had a child in first grade, and I was never home. Mm-hmm. And I decided to be a dad. And that was really wonderful. But I missed the business, loved the business. I was safely out. But there's nothing else
safely
I ever
out.
Yeah, I was safe.
It pulled you back in, right?
It did. And you know, for those of us that do this, there's nothing else you want to do. You do it because you love it, because you're passionate. It defies reason. You have to cherish this opportunity to serve people. And that's why I'm back. So,
and it is one of those businesses, and we talk about it all the time, at least, you know, I do on the programs, is you have to love it. The people that are in and around the restaurant, the hospitality, the food business, you got to be hardwired to do it. It
right.
is not easy work, but it's the kind of thing that the people that are in there could not imagine themselves doing anything else.
I could not do anything else. I don't want to do anything else. This is all I've ever wanted to do, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be doing it again.
Well, with Jerry Kleiner and working with some legends in the business, right?
Yeah.
And some
and,
of these.
And one of the guys that's on this Hamburger Hop, you know, Michael Cornick is one of Chicago's most celebrated chefs. But what's cool about this is you have a lot of people that are really talented and are cooking hamburgers, right?
Yeah.
Guys who can cook duck and guys who can cook lamb and understand foie gras, but they're making hamburgers
right.
and they're doing it beautifully. And that's one of the really cool things about this event. We are a beef town, right?
Yeah,
we take our
sure.
steak seriously, we take
yeah.
our hamburgers seriously. And there's a lot of pride in this. So you're right to address, yeah, we're friends, but we all care.
It is a friendly competition. You mentioned the word, the label on the dish is called a burger, but you see the level of expertise and the things that are going into it, not only the talent, but some of the ingredients,
yeah.
it's hard to call it a burger. Now, I don't know, you got to keep it close to the vest a little bit.
I love where you're going with this, because a lot of hamburgers have been bastardized. They have too much vinegar on them. They have too much pickling on them. There are eggs and bacon and everything
and lobsters.
Other than
yes.
the hamburger.
Yes.
And what was wrong with the idea of pure beef, properly seasoned, cooked intelligently, and that's a hamburger. So
yep.
all this other minutiae gets in the way of the beauty and the integrity of a hamburger.
I need to talk with you about this because this is I've been one of the attendees, and I also have a big background in food. So I go with sort of a different eye on it all, but yet I still love a good burger, right?
Right.
So I have had a little bit of issue with that. Because they get kind of crazy with
don't
the burgers.
Don't chefs have to do that, though?
They
chefs feel the
do,
obligation
but,
to bring it up.
But it still has to be delicious, and it still has to be a burger, I think.
And I think we see this in beer, we see it in cheese, we see it in wine. And the question is, are you overcomplicating it because of a mind that can't stop moving, because a statement that you feel you need to make, or do you respect the integrity of the initiative and then don't hide behind all these other ingredients, because that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. If you cook the perfect hamburger and you get the right blend and you season it perfectly, that's the art.
Yeah, Tom, I got to tell you, in some of these hamburger competitions, and you've got ones where you've got great chefs doing all sorts of crazy things with them, whether it's lobsters or truffles or bacon or eggs or things like that. Sometimes when it comes to a People's Choice Award, the simple burger, the simple kind of diner burger really does resonate with people. We've got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Tom Powers. He's going to talk about Hamburger Hop, the thought process behind it. And we are going to get into Lunatic Lover and Poet, known affectionately only as Lunatic, the restaurant, the inspiration behind it, as he came back after so many years. So quick break, and we'll be back with more of that. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. It is Dane here on the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in for Dean until 1 o'clock. And we've talked a little bit about Chicago Gourmet. It is coming up. One of the signature events is the Hamburger Hop. And Lunatic Lover and Poet is going to be part of that competition. We said it was a friendly competition, but also you want to win. Maybe not that friendly, actually. But one thing that is open and ready to receive you and give you some of the best food out there is that restaurant known affectionately as Lunatic. And Tom Powers is in studio. So you're going to be participating in Chicago Gourmet. Lots of people are going to be there. They're going to kind of say, hey, this is one taste of what it is that you guys do. They're going to want more. Let's talk about, because you had mentioned in the last segment, away from the restaurant industry for a while, you came back. I know you wanted to do exactly what you wanted to do. Let's talk about the restaurant.
Thank you so much. It was really important to me that we find a place that was welcoming, that was friendly, and that made everybody feel included in the discussion. I think when you have the opportunity to step away, you gain a sense of perspective that I may not have had otherwise. And I felt, especially in the wine world, that we had become obtuse and embracing the avant-garde. And the beer culture and the craft cocktail culture made people feel included. And wine got weird, and it didn't need to be. And so what we saw in Europe, particularly in Barcelona, Madrid, Milan, people were saying, look, the economy is difficult. We want a place to go often, but you can't serve us the same bad food that you've been serving us for the last 50 years. So they found really talented younger people in kitchens and brought them on board, did small plates, and those places exploded. And I thought there was an opportunity in Chicago to do the same thing. The other thing that I found was that it was an either-or proposition with cocktails. Why couldn't you get a great cocktail or a great glass of wine? Why was it always either-or? And so by bringing those three things together, a value in food, young talent, creative talent, smaller portions, really looking at a balance of cocktails to wine, that proved to be unique and something that people gravitated to in a really wonderful way. And so we've had a remarkable 5 months. And I think one of the things that we do is that we try to be humble and we try to ask a lot of questions. We failed. We've had some times that weren't great, but we've had an awful lot of times that we were wonderful. And it was a function of growing and building the team, and that's hard. Getting the people that share your core values is very difficult, and you need to get those people on board. But in Jessica Nowicki, we have a brilliant young female chef that came from Nahon Brandi, and the food is pure, it's honest, it's uncomplicated. There's no foams, there's no gels, there's no tweezers in our kitchen. We source well, we do a little bit to it, we season appropriately, and we present. And that is translating to our customers.
You seem to focus on very good essential ingredients, going from the raw materials and highlighting those. Does that carry over into cocktails as well? I mean, are you going for maybe a simpler approach, if I can use that word? I'm not sure it's the right one, but more stripped down and focusing on
good fundamentals. Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think when you look at the integrity of the product, and sometimes you have to get out, oftentimes, of the bigger national brands that have massive marketing budgets, they're not necessarily the best products. And you can find that smaller artisanal producer that really makes something that transcends the generic thing that we see. And when you take that time and you have that focus and you have, and I'll say this, people want to trash the millennials, but the bartending skills are remarkable. I mean, these men and women are operating at a high level and they know these products, they're working with these guys, they're championing the small guy. And so they understand how is Purity vodka different from Kettle One? And it is. Why is Bar Hill gin different than Tanqueray? And it is. And when you understand that and you give them the right technique and you give them the right ice and they understand the blend and we're not getting into too sour, too acidic, too sweet, but harmony. And that harmony should exist between wine, food, cocktails, all of the above. And they all correlate. So you're absolutely right. Yeah, they do matter.
We're letting the listeners know we're talking with Tom Powers from Lunatic Lover and Poet, or Lunatic, as it is known. And it's neat to see the mindset, right? That kind of the thought process behind the whole concept before you even get into the dishes of the cocktails or the wine as well. People are going to see you at Hamburger Hop and at Chicago Gourmet. But give a little information about where people can find you, whether it's online to see what yeah. things are going on, or the address where people can come see
Thanks.
You front and center.
Yeah, we're at 736 West Randolph. So we're right on Restaurant Row. We're at Halstead and Randolph. We're on the northeast corner. And we're very fortunate to be right in the thick of things. Website is thelunaticloverandpoet.com. Just went back up, and it's been really fun to share what we're doing with Chicago, and privileged to be here to share that with you guys. So thank you.
Tom, before you go, can you tell us just really quickly about the name?
Sure. We have what we call a triangulation of core values okay. that are intellectual, whimsical, and naughty. And I thought those were best represented in William Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
So my wife and I decided that we would find the name of the space in that play. In Act 5, Scene 1, Kara discovered that King Theseus was talking about the crazy stories from the night before and said, "The lunatic, the lover, and the poet are of imagination all compact. Satisfied my values. I think they live in all of us. You have something to drink, at least one of them is coming out. It's just never the right one at the right time."
Oh, that's awesome. Tom that's Powers, one more time with the website before we let you go.
TheLunaticLoverPoet.com. Thanks so much for having me on.
Appreciate yeah, see him at Hamburger Hop, and of course see him over there as well at the restaurant. And thanks, guys. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have more with Dave Hammond, more with Beth Peterson. We're going to talk a little bit of food, a little bit of tailgating. Stay tuned. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. Seven twenty WGN. It is Danielle here in the Allstate Showcase Studio, in for Dean Richards until 1 p.m. And as always, Dean's Food Time segment is sponsored by Greek Island Restaurants. And we've been talking a little bit, more than a little bit, quite a bit of food. And in studio with us, we have the dining and drinking editor for New City Magazine, Dave Hammond, with us. Beth Peterson is with us as well, of course, from Yummy Network, and a tailgating expert and guru. And a drop off today that we've got to make mention, especially during food time. The great folks over at Pork Chop Catering dropped off a bunch of things. Beth's going to bring it in. Looks like we have some wings, some mac and cheese, probably some
pig wings.
No. I haven't done the DNA on the wings, but I'm guessing that they're chicken wings, right?
Probably.
This is the kind of stuff that you could enjoy. And Dave, you mentioned it when I think we were talking with Famous Dave, and of course at that point you, in deference, you became Notable Dave, as opposed
perfectly
to,
happy
right,
with
right.
That.
That is part of Celebration Foods. And the folks over at Pork Chop, and you can go to their website at porkchopbarbecue.com, and they've got a bunch of different things. But that kind of food, whether it's for barbecue relief that they're helping out with down in the Houston area, and I'm sure will in Miami as well, or for a celebration, for you know, a wedding, for a party, a backyard. I think barbecue is just a fun food for parties.
Definitely. Brings people together, and there's nothing I love more than a big barbecue steak. Although pork's good, too. When I'm smoking, I always smoke pork, of course. I mean, that meat was made for smoke.
We're going to take a look at it when we get a chance as soon as Beth brings it in. But big thanks to the people at Pork Chop for dropping off some amazing stuff. And I'm sure we'll try some before we get out of here as well. But here's the thing is, and Dave, you're a Renaissance man, and we know this. And you take something as kind of universally kind of approachable as the backyard barbecue, and you're going to take it and you're going to take a left turn and you're going to elevate it and you're going to make it something a little bit different. And we had talked off the air about the world of dry aging. I had mentioned that my that's right. Well, okay, so hold that thought. You're going to talk about dry aging steaks and bring it. I forgot we've got one last check in, at least for this show, with Dave Schwann as far as the progress and the update for Hurricane Irma. Come on, baby, don't you want 720 WGN. Dane Neal here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in for Dean Richards until 1 p.m., just a little bit longer. And then Frank Fontana will be in to talk all things health, lifestyle, design. He does a bunch of different stuff. I'm excited to see what he's got. In studio with us, we've got Dave Hammond, the editor, the dining and drinking editor for New City Magazine, and Beth Peterson, soon-to-be author on the Tailgate side, right? Tailgating.
Yes.
Guru and Yummy Network personality. And Beth, while you were bringing some of the stuff in from Pork Chop, and thanks to them again for catering some great stuff, porkchopbarbecue.com, Dave had mentioned that he is looking into, whether it's a tailgate or at home, is dry aging his own steaks. And the dry aging thing has been kind of a mysterious world, yeah.
Right, and this is a device we got. It's called Dry Ager. It's a box.
Is it like from Ronco? Ron Popeil?
right. A fine Popeil product. Yeah, you put it in your refrigerator. There's a fan there and a charcoal filter. You put some salt in there, and then you put a big hunk of meat in there. It can't be just like a thin steak. You want to put like an 8-pound rib roast or something like that in there. And then you let it sit there for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You can let it go really as long. Some people do it as long as like 70 days or so. And what happens are the enzymes in the meat help tenderize it. And then because you got the salt in there in the fan, the steak gets drier. It loses some of the moisture. So the flavor becomes...
Some of the connective tissue kind of softens
it. Oh, yeah, definitely softens it up. And you also lose moisture and water, so the flavor is more intense. Now, I think, like Tom Powers, I think you got to start with a good raw material. So right. Where can you get a great steak in Chicago?
Ponderosa.
Raw steak to cook at home. My buddy David Listener at Chicago Best Steak said, you can go to Prime House, and I haven't done this yet, but go to Prime House and actually buy raw steak there to cook at home.
David Burke's restaurant, right?
It was David Burke, okay. Prime House. Oh, yeah. He's no longer involved in it, so it's just Prime House. But you can go in there and get a steak. Now, it's going to cost the same as it costs on a menu. You want a 32-ounce ribeye, $50, $60, whatever it is on the menu. That's what you're going to pay for the raw meat. But you can take it home and be a hero, making a great steak for your own family.
It's a little danger there, a little risk.
Well, actually, the first steak we dry age was from Costco. It was choice, not prime, a choice steak. It turned out fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, we had it in there for 3 weeks. It gets small, loses like a pound and a half, 2 pounds of moisture alone. So all that flavor that used to be, all that content of the piece of meat that used to be water is now gone. So you just have this great meat flavor.
One more time with the name of the product that you ended up
with. Steak Ager.
Steak Ager. And Beth, on the tailgating side, let's say you got a great piece of steak and you want to do something fun with it for a tailgate. We've got a couple minutes before we got to send it to news. Any kind of suggestion
on the spot?
A kebab, maybe?
A kebab is a great idea. I think, personally, I just like it, grilled. I love a really good grilled steak. But, if depending on the size of the steak, doing a slider with it is always good. I like little food at tailgates because you're holding a beer, you're holding a drink, you want, something in the other hand, not too big. So I like sliders. I think that maybe a steak slider would be yummy.
You're going to want to have kind of the best, accoutrements for your steak, the best side stuff as far as something to drink. What do you think, Beth? Is like the Angel's Envy, would that be
right.
that like the perfect thing?
I've kind of been into bourbon, I like a nice bourbon drink. There's so many great cocktails out there now that you can do, with bourbon. And I think that that's a great thing to do. Bloody Marys, Bloody Marias, using tequila or vodka, either one of those, and just doing like a whole loaded Bloody Mary bar is one of my favorite things to do for my guests. whether, you know, in the parking lot or at home. So, yeah, I would definitely say Bloody Marys.
You make your own mix, I'm sure, right?
I make my own mix, and, you know, obviously all the accoutrements with it are really fun.
And Dave, so you make that perfect steak, you know that you've done it right. What is it? What does Dave Hammond enjoy, beverage-wise? Is it a bourbon here?
You know, I like bourbon quite a lot, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think red wine is still the best combo with steak. I mean, there's something about the acidity of that wine, the way it balances, and the slight fruitiness. And I notice Famous Dave puts a lot of fruit in his barbecue sauce, too. Yep. That's like cranberries or apricot or whatever. That slight fruitiness, the savoriness of the meat, and then the acidity of the red wine.
And Dave, I'm not sure how much time we're going to have. So people want to read you, want to catch up with you on social media. How can they follow your adventures?
Well, I'm on Facebook, of course. On Twitter is David Hammond, and on Instagram as well as DC Hammond. I always post pictures of my food. It seems a little self-indulgent, but I love having that diary of what I ate.
And Beth, really quick, social media-wise?
You can find me at yumminetwork.com. You can find some great tailgate recipes there. And then on social media, I'm at Beth's Table on Instagram, on Pinterest, and on Twitter.
Quick break, and we will be back to wrap it up at staying here on 720 WGN.
All of us online.
Station WGN.
On demand. WGNradio.com.
On demand.
I got rhythm. I got music. Hey, Chicago, this is Ron Hawking, and I'll be performing a very special 10-year anniversary celebration of my show, The Men and Their Music. I'll be covering favorites by Frank Sinatra, Ray Charles, Billy Joel, Elton John, and more. Join me September 7th through October 1st at the Apollo Theater in Chicago. Get your tickets now by calling the Apollo Theater box office or by visiting Ticketmaster.com. Who could ask for anything more?
What does Carolina's healthcare system, Healthcare Service Corporation, AT&T, Novant Health, and Bank of America have in common? They have the nation's most inspiring leaders when it comes to diversity, and you can meet them September 13th through the 14th at the 11th Annual Diversity MBA Leadership Conference and Awards Gala at the Marriott Hotel in Oak Brook, Illinois. It's an exciting chance to learn innovative strategies to success for yourself and others. Go to DiversityMBAMagazine.com or call 773-468-3231. Value diversity today. Create success tomorrow.
720 WGN, it's been Dane Neal here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in for the incomparable Dean Richards until, well, just another minute. Stay tuned for Frank Fontana. I want to thank everybody who listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Get out there and enjoy the day. Go Bears, right? Everybody, Bears. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
And do this really quick. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Ben.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Dane.
All right.
Go Bears.
Right now it is 1 o'clock and it's news time. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is news time and here's Dave Schwann.